Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Ted Santos, and I am your host of Straight Talk. We are that talk show that is made for men, by men. And ladies, I promise you will never want to miss what we are talking about here. This is a place where men can speak openly and honestly as men in a masculine way, without being told to tone it down or make women feel comfortable or safe. Women are safe here. Everyone's safe. It's a safe space, except it's a place where men get to express themselves as men. They get to think and speak like men, the way nature made us to be. It's a conversation. It's where men get to talk about what's really on their mind, and they get to express it in a way that they naturally express it. So ladies, if you would like to join us and understand what men are really thinking from a man's perspective, you'll never want to miss this show. And fellas, you know I like taking on some of the most politically incorrect topics. Tonight is going to be one of those, what you call ugly subject matters. Perhaps the last time I did something that was a little more politically incorrect is when I talked about why women shouldn't be allowed to vote. So you see the title, Did Afghan Men Get It Right When It Comes to Women? I have subtitles like, Do Afghan Men Know Something Western Men Don't Know? Do men in Afghanistan understand female nature better than men in the U.S.? So that's where we're coming from. And as we talk about this, we're going to open up a few other veins in the topic matter that are related to this. What we're going to discuss directly is a contrast. What's happening in Afghanistan, the relationship between men and women, even if we looked at the Middle East in general, but if we just look at Afghanistan, and what is it they understand about women? What drives their actions, and what is it they know that perhaps men in the U.S. or Western world is either they haven't caught on or they haven't been the men haven't had the balls to face the reality as to what's happening in the country and how to deal with it. So I've had quite a few thoughts on this topic. I see a few of you already piling in the house. What's going on, West Coast? Good to see you. I'm Dr. Ted, huh? Okay. And we're doing a TED Talk. What's going on, Lando? Napoleon Lasso. Right. Napoleon, men created to protect and provide and build. And men have actually done that. Every civilization around the world has been built by men. I'm not aware of one single sustainable civilization anywhere throughout history that was built by women. What's going on, kindly Diallo? Bonsoir, from Paris. Comment ça va? Is that the right way to say it? Comment ça va? Parlez-vous français, that's all. That's it. Actually, learned a little bit more dating a woman from Morocco who spoke French, also Haitian. Everything is cool, Napoleon. We are going to get into this. This is a topic where I want to tear down the walls so men can actually think and talk about this. We're going to think through this. So, fellas, as you come in, smash that thumbs up button. Smash it hard. And if you haven't subscribed to my channel, this is a perfect time. Subscribe to my channel and then hit that bell so you'll get notifications for my show. Now, this topic is so big, My French is good, huh? So, like your name, Kendi, well, kindly, it should be kindly. That was very kind of you. What's going on, country boy? This topic is so big that there's no way I could just do this on my own. What's going on, Imperator? We are going to stir up, absolutely. This topic is way too big for me to just be here on my own. And I see you coming in the house all the way from Great Britain. Nias, what's going on, man? Good to see you. Love to get your perspective on this. You're probably more closely related to Afghanistan and culture than people are here in the U.S. and maybe even in Great Britain. So if you want to join from there, cool. But it would be great if you could join from YouTube live stream. For those of you who would like to call in, and I see you calling in already, the phone number to call in is 323-642-1387. That's 323-642-1387. That's Blog Talk. You will be able to call in and engage. And we're going to have sort of a panel discussion with several people engaging, making it interactive. But as I was saying, and I'm going to complete my thought, this topic is so big and it's so much to uncover. For one, I've never been to Afghanistan. So how do we make this topic more realistic and dynamic is we're going to bring someone in, a guest. You guys know this guy, Red Pilled Rican. You've seen him several times on my show. Brilliant guy. He and I talked about men's health and testosterone, and actually this is somewhat related to testosterone, this show. So he's going to come in because he served in the military and was actually in Afghanistan. So we're going to be able to engage him. I invite you, as you guys are already lighting up the chats, so I appreciate that. Yeah, country boy, yep. So we'll talk maybe a little bit about Middle Eastern. but definitely we want to focus on Afghanistan. That is, you know, they're hot in the news, the Taliban. There's all kinds of controversy over whether they're doing it right. but, you know, at the topic, did Afghan men get it right when it comes to women? So are they handling their women in a way that's appropriate to handle women? If you want a sustainable, stable society, is the question. So if Afghan men got it right, because, hey, look, Russia tried to strong arm them. And Afghan men, it appears they don't back down. I was listening to an interview with a guy, and I lost it because I got a haircut, but I had to stop listening. But it was a guy who's writing a book, and somehow he's through Freedom of Information, he's been able to get some information. And he's saying the U.S. forces never actually had full control of Afghanistan and the Taliban. We were reporting one thing, but what was actually happening was something else. So, you know, we're going to get another, like I said, I'm going to bring him in seconds. Let me just see what you guys write, the Afghans and the women from Torah perspective. And interesting, Napoleon, from the Torah. Interesting. So Afghan men are no joke. You know, they're over there fighting with guns that may be 50 or 100 years old, fighting Russians in the U.S. with antiquated equipment. And these cats seem like they don't back down. And this, all of a sudden, the U.S. just packs up and leaves. You know, I don't know. So I'm going to get to these phone calls. I see you guys calling in. I appreciate that. I just want to say in general, I appreciate the support you guys have given me over the years. Maybe it's 2 years now and I've been doing live stream. So can't do this without you. I love the comments. Even when you guys go back and forth, and even if you want to question or arm wrestle with me, this is cool. I appreciate your support. I've dropped my PayPal and Cash App links in there. So any financial support allows me to continue to give you guys content that support manhood. And for the women who want to understand manhood, this is the best place in the world. This is the best place in the world for men to be able to express themselves as men and be able to hear things from a man's perspective, not a watered-down version of manhood where we've been told to get in touch with our feminine side. I don't have a feminine side. If I want a feminine side, I'll get a woman by my side. That's where the feminine side comes from. And if she thinks she's got a masculine side and I treat her like a man, I promise she won't like that. Because she doesn't even understand how manhood works. But that's a different topic, and maybe not. Maybe we'll have to address that also. So without further ado, I want to bring in a guy who is, if you're not following him, you want to get down with him because he dropped some great material both in YouTube and Instagram. So you've got to check him out. He's a brilliant guy. He's got a wealth of knowledge and from several perspectives. If you remember, the first show we did was all about health. And I think we brought a lot to you guys in better understanding health and testosterone. So as I said, this is Straight Talk. On Fridays, I do YouTube and Chill, where we kind of sit back and we talk about the intimacy of relationships. Love talking about a little, you know, sex, putting it all together. But this is Straight Talk. This is where we get to have brutal conversations about life, relationships, social challenges, business, money. So give Red Pilled Rican a warm welcome. If you're not following him, this is a great time to do it. And if you haven't shared this video already, this is a perfect time to share the video. And we're going to get into it. And I'll be to those phone calls in a couple of minutes, guys. So just hold tight. So what's going on, Red Pill?
Hey, it was good, Ted. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, man, you know, it's always a pleasure to have you here.
What's up, man? Appreciate that.
No problem. So, you know, people know you for, you know, talking about relationships. They know you about for health, but they may not know you as a warrior, as a real highly skilled, trained soldier. So talk a little bit about that and what you've done. And then I'm going to give a perspective on this.
Long story short, I only did 6 months in Afghanistan because I was still on dwell time from Iraq. I already did time over there. I went to my new unit. They're already over there. And once my dwell time is up, then they gave me orders and they sent me over there. So I was in Afghanistan from June of 2010 until December of 2010. Now, what dwell time is, where you already did time overseas, so you get a third time to stay home before you're deployable again, basically. And basically, you know, the way the Taliban are handling things right now, you see, the way I see it is, let me just say this, women have always been the way they are. You know, it's just that social media, the internet has amplified that. It put it right there in our faces of how they really operate, what they really think. They put the business out there. It's not like we go looking for it. We see it. You know what I'm saying? And basically, you know, I don't agree with the Stonies. I don't agree with the public beatdown that they're giving them and all that. You know what I'm saying? But a lot of the reasons why they have these rules is because of the stuff we see right now. Because look at the contrast of how women live over here as opposed to over there. You know what I'm saying? Women over here talk about oppression. They don't know what oppression is. They want to know what oppression is. You know, they need to go over there and see what's going on. Because the women over here have, I would dare say they have more freedoms than men, to a point to where they can pretty much live how they want, do what they want, free of accountability. And if they screw up, they got several avenues of escape. You know what I'm saying? And look how much damage that does in terms of taxpaying dollars, the economy. You know what I'm saying? So you see what happens when women are just letting, you know, just running amok, doing what they want without being held accountable. Then you got over here where they seem to have more order. Now, again, I don't agree with all the, you know, all the abuse and all that stuff, but they seem to understand what happens when you let women lead society and dictate how things should be ran, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Because they have proven that, you know, a society of strong men can defeat a society that has been weakened over time. But
right. I mean, and if you look at Afghanistan up against Russia, Russia's a huge country. It has way more resources. It's got a better military in terms of weapons, a much larger one. And those cats held their own in Afghanistan. Mm-hmm. And I don't think they did it by putting their women on a front line as blocking dummies, you know, to catch the bullet. You know, they told their women, we got it, that you need to go take care of the kids and we're going to go out. Cats would be up in the mountains. I'm exaggerating. They'll be up in the mountains in a T-shirt in wintertime shooting guns that are, you know, antiquated, man, and holding their own. That's a different kind of spirit, right? That's, you know, and you can't denounce that kind of manhood.
Nope. And you see, and here's another thing of what happens when women try to take charge and make things happen. Nothing gets done because I think about a week ago, they were showing all these pictures, gassing up these women, you know, videos, taking them arms to fight back against the Taliban. But what happened? We haven't heard from them since. What was that? Just a photo shoot and then he disappeared like, when it got real, you know what I'm saying?
All right, so let's talk about that. So you were in Iran also. Iran, that would be a big problem if we go in there.
No, never happened. That'll happen yet.
Yeah, that is a big problem. But in Iraq, so just quick question. Did you see a difference between Iraq and Afghanistan?
I would definitely say the women in Iraq Iraq was a little more liberated than Afghanistan, I would say. That's for sure. But, and definitely more developed. They really have potential to be more than what they are, you know what I'm saying, economy-wise, if they actually got their stuff together. But, and definitely, what do you mean? Like, the culture in general, or just, you mean, the treatment of women?
Anything that you saw differently.
Oh, definitely to see Afghanistan, they're mainly a bunch of tribes.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? They live in valleys. They may never even see the next tribe over because they're all separated by mountains. So when people are trying to govern Afghanistan, it's virtually impossible, you know? Like, each place has lived by its own rules. So you can see why they don't take kindly to outsiders. It's like, you know, they've been living isolated the whole time. And then here you come, you know, trying to impose a certain lifestyle on us. It doesn't work out well. And this is why, historically speaking, empires or even superpowers, when they go into Afghanistan, you know, they take control of the major cities, right? But the countryside always belongs to the opposition.
Mm.
So when they say you can't control Afghanistan, that's why. You can't cover the whole country. You know what I'm saying? So, but it should be old school. As I say now, as I do, also men are in charge of Afghanistan. Yeah, you see, the Taliban is made up of what? Men running things, right? And look at the end result.
Exactly.
I mean, you know what you got? And meanwhile, we're over here operating, you know, off of how people want to feel, you know what I'm saying? Like, we weaken the military. We operate off of these rules that don't get the job done. And then we wonder why, like, what happened? Well, I'm telling you exactly what happened. They weren't contaminated with the bullshit we're contaminated with over here on the Western world with all this feminizing of men, all these ideals. Now, I know a lot of you, well, not you guys specifically, but generally speaking, a lot of people like to think of the Afghans as the cave-dwelling prehistoric people. No, they are a lot more aware of what's going on over here than we give them credit for. And I'll never forget this. When I was, one time, when I was guarding the TCP with one other guy, and typically they give you at least one ANA, an Afghan army. But it means Afghanistan National Army, like we call them that, the division soldiers, the ANA. They'll send us one of their guys, and they will be the ones who will search the vehicles. So, and they actually know English as well, and we'll be talking, and they will ask us, like, how come it's okay for your women to go ahead and do this stuff? Like, over here, if another guy so much as even looks at my wife, I'll kill him. So, but meanwhile, over here, it's a completely different ballgame. We normalize pretty much stuff that should be considered degenerate behavior.
Right, right. So there's a level of order that the men keep in, like there's some continuity and order, right? And men's
standards and expectations in place. Yeah.
Here are the boundaries, not just for women, for men too. These are boundaries. Step outside of this boundary, you violate, there are consequences.
Oh yeah, definitely. You know, but you know, it's just hard to say, man. It's a shit show going on over there right now. And you see, now you got all the women complaining about all our rights, all the stuff are taken away. But you know what? It's like that running joke I've seen. It was a meme. My sister took a screenshot and posted it where it showed a bunch of young Afghan women probably in their 20s. And someone made a joke that, hey, you know, someone hurry up and rescue these women so they can come over here and make it OnlyFans before they shut down the nudity and that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Because you know they ain't getting away with that shit over there. They don't play that. So, but I know a lot of people feel a certain type of way talking about, hey, you know, like women should be able to do what they want, be free to, you know, live the life they want. Now, as people in general, I agree that you shouldn't be, you know, held prisoner in your own home, you know what I'm saying? But you can tell, you know, that they had a structure that's been working for them for how many years now?
Right.
So, you know, why go ahead and interfere with their way of life and, you know, impose our ways on them? You know what I'm saying? Because the more conservative men, if you want to look at it this way, they ran off the more liberal men. You saw how they were running and trying to flee on the planes, right?
Right,
you see those images?
Right.
It was mostly men
taking
off and running. And I think I've seen a study where there were 65% of the Afghans are under the age of 25. Now, we've been there for 20 years. That means that these guys grew up in an era where basically life was easy. You know what I'm saying?
They were getting feminism pushed down their throat for the past 20
years. Yeah, you know, they got spoiled.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Tony G, I can't wait to attempt to seduce America. So, I mean, I'm not there, man. I got out 6 years ago. So, I'm not part of the evacuation, Abner, or anything like that.
Well, he's asking, were Afghan women seducing men to get here? Or were they even allowed to interact with them?
I don't know. I'm not over there. I got out the Army 6 years ago.
When
so
you were
I have
there,
no idea what's going on. I don't know anyone over there right now. So
No. When you were there, just when you were there, did you see that? Did you see women?
Oh, no. I haven't seen that. No, that didn't happen. We had male interpreters with us. We didn't deal with the women.
So
but
guys,
I know the male, what?
You guys almost never came in contact with Afghan women then?
No, we're told not to talk to the women, not even to dress them. It was the same thing in Iraq as well. They say, don't talk about, never ask about the wives, don't even talk to them. What it'll be is, if you go into their house, don't, and you know, the whole thing about hearts and minds, ask them, how's the family doing? Don't ask, like, how's your wife, how's your daughters? You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because that may come off as, hey, you're interested in them, you know
right.
what I'm saying?
Right.
So ask them, how's the family doing? That is basically what they tell you. And don't look at them. If you have to search them, sometimes we have a female rolling with us, and she'll do the searching. So we had stuff like that as well. So there's certain things about the culture that a lot of people don't understand. Like, they're really strict about that stuff. We were off limits. Those people are strict. Yeah, the women were off limits. I mean, you even look at their wife, it's a problem. Not so much with the wife, but with you. They'll look at the guy like, why are you looking at my wife? So to say that they punish the wife for that type of behavior, no, they'll come after the guy. Now, if the wife was okay with it, okay, now it could fall back on the wife.
Right,
you know
right.
what I'm saying? And basically, that's the mentality I have anyway, you know? Guys are always going to desire you woman, you know what I'm saying? It's just a fact. You know, if she's at least average looking, it's going to happen, you know? But it's how the woman reacts that matters. So it goes back to the other guard that I was talking about, where he said, if someone even so much as looks at my wife, I'll kill him. You know what I'm saying? And he meant that. That's just their way of life over there.
Yeah, I used to work with a guy in Sudan. This is a little off topic, but he said if you have sex with my sister and you didn't marry her, and then you try to walk away and not marry her, he said, my father is coming after you to kill you, not to hurt you, to kill you. He said, but here's the problem. I'm going to get to you first before my father does. and I'm going to take,
exactly.
I'm taking your life. So you have sex with my sister. You're not married. Now you're obligated. You otherwise you shamed my family, and I've got to get rid of you. And they
exactly.
punish your sister for that. But there's it's the same thing. There are boundaries, and you just don't violate them.
Exactly. It goes back to what I'm saying, because a lot of people think that they're like it's a misogynistic society. They're all against women and controlling. No, they hold men equally accountable.
Exactly.
You know, they're very protective of their women because they know how men are. They even forbid friendships between men and women. As a matter of fact, a woman can't even get seen for health reasons by a guy. It has to be another woman. They understand how this shit works. You know, they, it's for a reason. So it has nothing to do with trying to control women, because it's just that they understand how men and women react when together. You know, a lot of the stuff that we preach, they understand that as well.
Right.
So
right.
it's not new.
So I there's a guy here in my state. He's Orthodox Muslim. And he told me, he said, before Muhammad, he said, people in that part of the world, he said they were out of control. He said the men drank like crazy. The women would be walking around in their garden with no clothes and would just, the husbands at work, they would just have sex with some other dude. So he said Muhammad saved them from that lifestyle. Like he helped mm-hmm. shut that down and bring order. So I it seems like they've all been taught what happened in the past. And if you take the lid off of where things are, they could potentially go back to that kind
yeah.
of lifestyle.
And it's a perfect example of what we see over here. What happens when, let's say, what was the last era of people say was the golden time when things were more traditional? The 50s? Look what happens when you make things more liberal and you lower the standards of expectations. We get the bullshit we see now. We get, I don't want to get you blacklisted or so I got to, people who are confused about what they really are. We get dumb shit like this now. We got, you know, people trying to endorse things that would never have passed before. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got a lot of ass backwardness trying to be passed off as, you know, a tolerance. But at what point do you stop and just say, no, enough is enough? You know what I'm saying? So
right. You mean the alphabet. You're talking about the alphabet people.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? That stuff gets endorsed. You get weak men who you know ain't going to stand up and fight for you. So that's another thing you get. This is why Russia and China, they're laughing at us right now. Because, and this is why I say that if it wasn't for our technology and our huge landmass, Russia and China would easily have their way with us. Because look at how they conduct things compared to us. You know, and this is also why people trust Russia and China more than they trust us. So... no rules, but pretty much, yeah, it's an anything goes society we live in a nutshell.
I want to take some phone calls, but I want to put down, these were some thoughts that I had about this show, about this topic. So it goes like this. There's a challenge around the world, whether you are a colonist or an indigenous person defending your land. The people who are engaged in warfare are men. And this makes women the protected gender. When mm-hmm. men return from the battlefield, is it wise to tell them they are on their own because jobs are being given to the protected gender, women? If you do that, what incentive will men have to leave the workforce to fight for their nation? And furthermore, men are still expected to play the role of provider in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That means men are required to finance relationships. If they marry, they are expected to finance the lifestyle of their wife and children. Men are unable to do that. The men who are unable to do that are considered undesirable by women. Like, women don't want to marry unemployed men. At the same time, if you give jobs to women, those women are under no obligation to switch roles with men. They still want men to finance relationships. So men are expected to finance dating and family life. And besides, businessmen desire to work. The businesses men desired to work in were built by men. So women want to work in businesses that were built by men. and it required risk-taking of capital. So if women really are valuable in the workforce, as they claim, they would take some of the same risks that men have taken to start businesses and fail, to lose their house because they mortgaged the house. Now, that means risking capital, your reputation, and sometimes your life. I mean, look at the amount of men who risk their life to make airplanes, to get steel mills, to mine coal, iron ore, copper. Like this, so many men have died. So here's, it's two things. One is men go out to the battlefield and they come back and you say, well, we're sorry, we have no jobs because we're only hiring women now. So that means men went out and risked their life to be told that we can't give you a job, right? So you went out to fight and imagine coming back and they're saying, well, we're only hiring women now. We're not going to hire men. Why the hell should you go out to the battlefield? And the second part is women don't take the kinds of risks that men take. And if anyone says women haven't had money, that's not true because women have inherited millions, hundreds of millions and billions of dollars for more than 100 years from their fathers and grandfathers. So there have been enough women with money who could have invested in women-only companies. We could have Fortune 500 companies that only employ women, but women don't take those risks. So if men are expected to finance relationships, provide and protect for their families, then why would we give jobs to women? Now, I understand there are some jobs where women may be more efficient. They may be better, right? Whether it's manufacturing where small hands or whatever the job is, right? Some even sales jobs, women can be better, perform better than men, depending on what it is. So what if you look at Afghanistan, they're going door to door and telling women to get out the workforce. Are you married? We've got single guys in the Taliban, in the military, who need a wife. So why would you unemploy your men? And women won't marry them. So, you know, you're giving women capital, and what do? They go shopping. 77% of consumer purchases are made by women, not by men. Capital, when you give people capital, that means you take care of your wife and your children. They're well-dressed. They're educated. They have food. They have a place. They have a safe lifestyle. And you also start looking at your community, maybe starting a business, creating jobs. Men do all these things. Women go shopping. So we are doing it backwards. In Afghanistan, they're literally going door to door and telling women to go home, send your brother here to work. That might sound harsh for where we are, but if you think about what builds, stabilizes a society, is actually men with capital who actually build families and communities. And women are not doing that. They're building families, they're making, raising children alone, which hurts the children. And even can hurt the man when they go through divorce court. So anyway, I'm gonna shut up, but what are your thoughts about what I'm saying there? And I'll read this.
You're freezing up something.
I'm done. I'm.
You froze up a little bit.
I'm done.
Okay. But yeah, what I'm saying is what they're doing is bringing back a sense of normalcy. Now, I don't know. Well, let me say this. Like, I don't know how exactly booming the economy was when we left it, but I do know that we did leave things in better hands because of our money and our work. So we can't really say how well things have,
No, I just said, right. You mean in Afghanistan, right?
Yeah. So we don't really know how well they would have done on their own having left women in the workforce. You know what I'm saying? But it's like we say about the nuclear family. That's basically what they're doing. It's not like they're trying to enforce some, you know, something evil, you know what I'm saying? Because look what's happening over here. You let women run amok and there is no family. You know, you get single motherhood. And look what happens with single motherhood. You get guys where they don't turn out, you know, the best, you know. Even if they're doing okay, they're missing a lot of stuff that's also important, like masculine influence. This is where you get the weak men, you know, who have that guilt of, what's that thing called when the woman, when they grow up in a household and the woman's always talking about how men ain't shit because of her choices? You know, they grow up with this guilty mentality.
Right, right.
And this is the bullshit that get going on. So okay, women don't want to take care of men. Yeah, that's it over here, because the women over here, you know, they get taught that doing anything for a man occasion to him is beneath their level. I don't know how so. How is that beneath their level when the guy's doing everything else? He's telling you he can't do the other stuff on the side, you know, but they want the man to do all the manly duties while doing her job at the same time. That's not going to work. You know, and I think that's basically what we're trying to say with how things going on with Afghan men. It's like, no, listen, this is what's going to happen, and you're going to fulfill this then. So.
Hey, Tony G said, he said, I think Ted is saying, you're going to rob Adam to support Eve.
Like rob Peter, pay Paul type deal.
But you're robbing Adam so Eve can have a nice lifestyle and go shopping, and Adam does all the work and Eve goes shopping, and Adam is doesn't have enough to eat. So
mm-hmm. You know what's crazy about that though? You know about like the whole thing with female travelers, right? How it's mostly women, but if you look at most of the female travelers, they tend to be single mothers, middle-aged women who were divorced or widowed. So guess where that money's coming from? You know what I'm saying?
Right, exactly.
And it wasn't working women who were out traveling, because they were too busy working. They weren't out there living their best lives the way they should because they're busy working. It's women who don't really work like that, but they're getting extra income, as you would say, robbing Peter to pay Paul or robbing Adam to pay Eve, you know? Like, hey, here's the other person's more work. You go live your life, you know? So it's just... same thing with us men. It's like we're too busy working to be thinking about, okay, I want to go traveling, you know, once a month. I want to go do this. Like, I don't got time for that. When I'm done working, you know what I want to do? I want to stay home. I want to chill.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it just says a lot about how men still make more money than women, but yet they're 80% of consumership, you know? So where else are you getting the money from?
Exactly. And the number one way for women to become wealthy is to get married to a man.
Still,
it's the number one way. I'm going to take a couple of phone calls. Area code 870 and 310. You're live and on the air with Straight Talk. 870, what's your name and where are you calling from?
What it is, gentlemen. This country boy from Arkansas. What's going on with you?
All right. How you feeling, man?
Oh, I'm just as cool as the other side of the pillow, Ted. What it do, Red Peter Reek?
Good, man.
Yeah, fellas, I would like to say this here from the Jump Street. I hate to be the bearer of bad news, Red Peter, but I told you so. Once the men stop slipping and they start snapping their whip, everything in America done went to hell in the hen's nest. That's what I say. And as far as the Afghan men, Ted, they've been had it right for all these years. Them and a whole lot of them other Eastern countries, they had it right. Somewhere American men have slacked off. And it's a disgrace, Ted.
Yeah, so we're going to address it. You know, listen, I'm with you, Red Pill, and, you know, the whole beating women, I get that. But just a quick side note. Do you know that in the state of Utah, if your wife does something illegal and you are with her, do you know the husband is 100% responsible?
That sounds like the army, man. You know, if your wife does something, you are still responsible for her. I mean, she'll still get in trouble, but it could ruin your career as well. Even if you weren't president, because you're still technically her sponsor, you are responsible for her actions as well. And it could hurt your career.
Interesting. Wow.
So let's say your wife wrote you a bad check. You didn't even know about it.
Right.
Guess what? It still falls back on you. So this is why I'm telling people, like, marriage, or even relationships is a huge liability. It could threaten your career. It could give you a headache. I mean, you already got enough stress as it is. Why the hell would you want to add, you know, a woman, a serious relationship or marriage into it, you know, and complicate things even more? It's like a thing we had in the Army, you know. If the Army wanted you to have a wife, they would have issued you one. So, yeah, so obviously, you know, it's just a way of saying don't get married. That's all it is.
So just quick question then. So how is it? Talk to me how it's broken up, like platoons and, you know, how is that? And how many
team, squad, platoon,
okay,
company,
battalion? Hold it. How many in a team normally?
In a team, it could be 3, 4, 5 people.
Okay. And then you said, so team, you said platoon was next or battalion?
No, squad is next. A squad could be as much as 10 people.
Okay. So, all right. Team, squad.
And then there comes platoon. A platoon could be as much as 2 squads or 3 squads.
Okay. So that could be like 20, less than 30.
Yeah, about that, roughly.
20 to 30 people max, right?
Mm-hmm. And then it's a company after that.
Did you say battalion before that?
No, company.
Company. And how many in a company?
About 100.
100?
80 to 100, about, yeah.
And then what's after a company?
Then there's a battalion. That could be about 300, 400, 500 people, 600.
All right.
So, and then you got brigade and all that stuff, yeah.
All right. So have you ever seen a team of women go into combat? Like fighting.
Yeah, actually, yeah, I have. In Afghanistan, yeah, because they were really a support unit anyway. They were dismounted. And I remember it's a route called New York South in Logar Province. There's another guy who was actually deployed in the same area I was at. He knew exactly what I was talking about.
Okay.
Remember that day I posted those images when I was in Afghanistan?
Right.
Yeah, he recognized that area.
Okay.
That area used to be called New York South.
Okay.
And that town, its name was Shark, I believe. And I remember we were just pulling out, they were leaving, next thing you know, they started taking fire because that's what the Taliban would do typically. They would attack like the last element, like the last vehicle when you're about to leave or the last group of soldiers leaving.
Right.
So they start taking fire. We can't return fire because we got all these cloud walls and trees in the way. We can't see no one. Plus we got guys in the line of fire anyway. So there were women there with 249s, which is a squad automatic weapon. There were women out there on foot patrol as well. So yeah, I have. So I see women behind Mark 19s as well, which is an automatic grenade launcher. So, again, these are support units. So they had to go out on convoy. You got to escort them because you're a route clearance package. So
have
I know. I think a whole lot. A lot of you probably don't understand. But.
Well, that's why I asked you to explain it, you know, up front, right? So,
but yeah, I have it. No one's exempt. This is not like World War II. I don't even say World War II, you know, but it's not like a traditional sense where certain jobs stay behind the lines. That is true to some extent. But the same way the Marines have you are a rifleman first, it's the same thing. It's like you're a soldier first, your job second. If you're a cook, it doesn't matter. If they tell you get behind that gun, you're gonna go on a convoy, you're gonna go on that convoy. They still train you on all the weapons you need to know. You still gotta qualify with the weapons.
Right.
Yeah. What are women out there actually in combat?
Okay. All right. Have you ever seen a team with women only or a squad?
No, not that, no.
So no team of women only, no squad of women only.
Nope.
Why? Do you have any idea why?
Because the jobs they take are not the ones that are high risk like ours, you know? And like me, I was a combat engineer, which is basically route clearance. You go out and look for the IEDs, it's mine clearance.
Right.
It sucks. You're basically a moving target, it sucks.
Right.
Then you got the infantry, which is basically the stuff you see in the movies, really, right? Then you got artillery, the tankers. Those are that is what combat arms is, all right? Basically, you're the guys that actually go on the action, all right? And women, back then, they weren't allowed to take those jobs. I think that changed a couple of years after we got back. So they could get into these jobs now, but they still won't do it. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because that's just not what they're built for. They have the opportunities, but they're not taking them. They fight for this stuff. So it cannot be used. But ultimately, the reason why you don't see teams or anything like that, because it was a male-dominant MOS, my unit. But the other ones, like I said, like typically they would stay in the truck. They'll be the drivers. So basically like a mechanic, some of them would be that. They would be supply clerks. What else would go out sometimes? Commo. I remember one time we had one woman drive our Humvee in Iraq. She was like a feed burn expert, which is basically like for gas and all that stuff, so like chemicals. But other than that, no, you just don't see it. So,
I mean, if, yeah. So like you said, you all were the last leaving, and the Taliban had a strategy to attack normally. So if women were included, that if that was, if part of that whole squad was support people, they had no choice except to fire back, right?
Oh, of course, yeah, of course.
But that wasn't. That wasn't their first priority.
No.
To be in gunfire, right? To be in firefight.
No, no.
Right.
It's not, no.
So they just, that was, you
the
saw a woman fighting back.
After the
hey,
someone's got to
go on mute.
Someone's got to go on mute.
Press 2. To leave for lunch. Press
1.
To return from lunch.
Yeah, who is that?
All right, cool. So,
no, but there is no pure team of women out in combat. No, you don't see that. You know what I'm saying? It just, no.
Okay.
But yeah, you go ahead.
All right. Hey, 310, you're live and on the air with Straight Talk. What's your name and where you calling from?
What's up, man? You know I'm 310. It's West Coast, man.
Hey, how you feeling?
What's going on, fellas?
What are your thoughts about this topic? You listen to Red Pill, who was over there in Afghanistan. So, you know, we're talking about what actually happened. He was in Iraq also, but we're specifically talking about Afghanistan.
Well, yeah. I was with y'all, you know, I don't, well, I don't know. At some point, you're talking about stoning, and I don't know what else they're doing over there. But, you know, at sometimes you might have to. Oh, cutting off heads, well. Well, you know what? Sometimes you gotta, you gotta make your point very clear. So you might have to sacrifice some people for the bigger picture, so they understand you ain't really playing. So I mean, I know it sounds kind of harsh, inhumane, but hey, there's casualties. Sometimes there gotta be casualties, you know, for everything to really work. You know what? That'll cut down a lot of time and a lot of bullshit, to be honest with you. I mean, I know it sounds kind of harsh, but that's how it is.
Yeah, kind of. But you know what? There is something that validates your point, because they were talking about that while the Taliban was in charge, there was virtually no crime in Kabul, because they were still doing the whole thing like, okay, you want to steal, we'll cut your hands off. You know?
Right, exactly.
If they were living under that law, there was virtually no crime. But when we were there, crime was rampant.
Are you serious?
So, yeah. It was very rampant.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah, let me know. Well, and again, it's something that you said at the beginning of Red Pill Regan. Something about the nature of the women and how women really view men. That's something that puzzles me quite a bit with men these days, or period, that, you know, it's almost like, you know how this lady really, how they really view you. You know the truth now. So how are you really going to see them the same, or why would you? I mean, how can you take her? How can you really take them serious now? So, you know,
you
when
you
first
that
said
that,
how
women are?
Yeah. Now that you really know how they are, how they see you, their nature, all of this stuff. You know, what you feel.
That's what I'm saying. It's like women have always been like this, and even through the war brides, I mean, that was older time itself, where basically, hey, their husband died, they married the fucking soldiers who came in, right? They just moved on.
So they really view you. I mean, I've been listening to Red Pill or MGTOW content for over about 12 years now, right? And even, you know, just listening to it, a lot of this stuff can be real redundant, but it still comes down to is the mask is off. What do you want to do with them now? I mean, I know you want to have kids. A lot of guys want to have, you know, you need them to, you know, have a family with. But you know this shit really doesn't love you. And the only way that she can survive and really make it is by you loving her. Now, in the Bible, it says a man should love, you know, love his woman like you love the Lord or something, and she's supposed to respect you. But if you're emotionally caught up in her, and she's not emotionally caught up in you, you're going to have problems.
That's what love is. We're going to have problems.
Yeah. Because she's really not invested in. She really not invested in you. She might say, "Well, I gave him time. I gave him these years," but she wasn't there. So, you know, you have to look at that in regards to this. So, if basically, if she's not willing, if she's not 100% in, then there's no reason for you to be taking any woman serious. Under these terms in modern times. Now, you know, historically, when they didn't have rights or things were a little bit different, you didn't have feminism, all this stuff going on. You know, you could have a family, you could do this and all that. But, you know, the family doesn't belong to you. The kid, I mean, if she wants to get up, she can get up and leave. She's going to take the kids. And the government, you know, I mean, the government is her pimp. She's the whore. You the trick. That's what's going to come down. You're going to be paying. I mean, if you really look at it, I really came to really basic to you like that. So when you know all of this stuff, that's why I can kind of agree with what these guys are doing over in Afghanistan. And
I agree too.
Right. So and another thing is, hey, if these people don't want you in their country, or if you come over there, you want to go like you're gonna change. If you gonna humble yourself and fuck it. And toe the line, like you said, don't be looking at their women. I mean, but the whole thing about it is, if you're from the United States and we have this very free, relaxed culture and all of this stuff, you really don't belong over there because, I mean, you really can't be yourself. You can't relax, you know, you've been indoctrinated into our culture and how we act and do that. So there's no way for you to really feel comfortable over there and to move freely or whatever because, I mean, you can't even look at, you know, like you said, homeboy, say, I catch a guy looking at my wife, I'm going to kill him. You know what I mean? I mean, so you see someone, you just look at it, he's looking at you like, did you look at my wife? You know, he ready to go off and stuff. And something go down, you're in his country. Who you think they're going to be defending? So I'm just looking at it like that. And also, like you said, hey, they want their women playing their biological, you know, what God put them on this planet for, is to be breathing and pleasing and shutting the hell up. So if the men are doing what they, if the men have the jobs like that, because like you said, if men build everything. These hoes ain't gonna build nothing. They're not gonna build anything. They're gonna take the money. They're not gonna put the money. It's like you married to a chick. She working. You working. You putting the money into the family. She stacking her shit for hers. So on a rainy day, so you know, if things go south, she's like, cool. I ain't invest nothing. I ain't got nothing to lose up in here and shit. I'm gonna get everything. He done paid for everything. I'm gonna get the kids. I'm gonna get the house. I'm gonna get my money. And I'll get alimony and child support out of this nigga. You know, I mean, that's a cold game, but that's the one she's playing. I mean, so, and the thing about it is, you know, this has been going on long enough for guys to know. So once you know the truth and you know everything, I mean, I just believe these guys are in fantasy land.
No, you need to revert back to your natural instinct and start knocking the hell out of folks, just like them dudes in the Afghan doing. Them Afghan men ain't playing. And that's how the men in America used to be. But now start talking about doing what them Afghan men doing, they looking at you like you crazy, like this nigga done lost
his mind.
That's how you were raised.
Yeah, but they got different rules. If you gotta knock the shit out of a woman, and the way the system is designed now, you don't need, y'all don't need to be together, okay? I mean, because basically, once you do that, I mean, she has rights, right? I mean, hell.
Get them right. I'm talking about what the main folks are doing.
I understand that. But listen, bro. It could not be that day. It could not be that week. It could be 6 months later, and all of a sudden she just snapped and you sleep. And then she take you out and some shit, and they ask you what happened. Oh, well, he hit me. He been abusive and shit. How many women have gotten off on that shit now? Huh? So basically, you know.
Tony's talking about the clash of culture values, but you know what? This brings up another history lesson that's separate, but at the same time, intelligent to some concept. But where were we? All right. So, those people know. People are not going to even fight in Vietnam. There are the Australians, you got New Zealand,
French,
South Korea.
The French also.
The French before us, they lost.
Yeah,
but
exactly.
The South Koreans, they performed way better than we did at Vietnam. And the reason for that was because they understood the Orientals they were making. They knew how to make people, you know, they really knew how to humble the enemy they were fighting because it was basically the same region. They understood the ways of their thinking. So they were so feared. What they would do is if someone so much as fired a shot at them, they would retreat, come back in full force, and they would level the whole place. So because of the way they handled things, they weren't on this, hey, we got to win hearts and minds. Hey, you know, we got to care about their feelings. We got to do this and that. They said, fuck that shit. We're here to win the war. So this is what they did, and it worked. They were, and after, because the South Koreans were so brutal, the Viet Cong were given orders to disengage and avoid the South Koreans at all costs because they did what they needed to do because they understood the way of thinking. And this is why the Taliban, you know, they were so successful in just getting shit done. It's like with the South Koreans. And another reason why is because they hated communism because think about it. At the time, the Korean War was still fresh. And the South Koreans had to deal with the invading North Koreans when they were imposing their ways. So that just fueled their hatred. So when they went to fight a war, they went to fight a war. They weren't out there caring about people's feelings. Like, hey, this is why I'm here. We're going to win. And then we come over here with this, you know, fuzzy teddy bear shit, and we wonder why we're not getting shit done. So it just comes to show you why, you know. Even in Syria, look what's going on. They take Russia more seriously than they take us. So...
Well, Ted, to really, I guess you could already say is, yes, I believe that the Afghanistan guys, they figured out female nature and they have it right. And I don't know what to call us over here. I mean, I just don't know what, you know. the moist USA.
Because if you look at how affairs start over here in the Western world, the number one place, correct me if I'm wrong, is the workplace. The workplace. More women have gone to the workplace, more affairs. Because the work of men, you know. We got, you know what I'm saying? We got women making their own money now. We're looking at men to meet them with those guys' degrees, and there you go. And this is why you get these women who are like 42 years old refusing to sell them because, like, I can't find a man that's good enough for me. You know what I'm saying? So there you go. And then we're talking about how people are children being born. Me personally, I think it's because men are starting to walk away from marriage more so than just women. Because that survey never bothered to ask men why we're not getting married. All they ask is women.
Right.
I think if they ask men, they get some good answers. But, you know, you got women with that mentality. And it's like they see this going on, the whole thing. These people go on with women with their male platonic friends. Everyone knows what those men really want. Their culture forbids those type of friendships, quote unquote. So they're not stupid. They know about this stuff. You know, it's just, let's put it this way, they are more realistic when it comes to men and women. You know what I'm saying? And they're not biology majors either. It's just how they fucking sense how things work. You know, they don't try to pretend things are not what they are. You know what I'm saying? They don't try to sugarcoat things. Like, hey, this is what it is, so this is how it's going to be.
You all were talking to me about penalties. Women. So Sun Tzu wrote the book The Art of War. Even corporations read The Art of War. It's good for strategy, overall understanding strategy. So when Sun Tzu was a top general for the Chinese emperor, the emperor said, told Sun Tzu, he said, look, I have a large army. If someone's good enough to get past my army, I have personal bodyguards. And, you know, so I have an army to protect me, and then I have these bodyguards. He said, however, if someone can get past my army, past my bodyguards, the last thing that he said that person is going to see around me is my concubine. He said, so I need you to train my concubine. Deadly martial artists, out of every weapon, their hands, I need you to train them. So the concubine, they didn't do anything. They just, you know, they were just there for the emperor's pleasure, right? And whatever roles they played. So when Sun Tzu took the concubine out and said, line up, you know, he told them how to stand in line. And he said, okay, march forward, now right turn. And one of the women started giggling and laughing, so all the women started laughing. So Sun Tzu said, maybe this is my fault. I gave bad instructions. Let me give instructions another way. So he said, line up, march forward, turn right. They start laughing. Sun Tzu pulled out his sword, and the woman who started laughing first, he literally chopped her head off and let it just roll down the floor. And he said, now, line up, march forward, turn right.
See, that's what I'm talking about, Steve.
March forward. Turn right, turn. And he trained those women to be the most deadly martial artists. But the women never took it serious in the beginning. So he made the most severe consequences that he could have, and he was not playing.
See, that's what you do to Bam Quisha, Keisha, Shaniqua. With the fiery weed, when she want to get a fucking attitude, you tell her that you make an example out of them hoes. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I would like to be able to know.
It's a problem. Ain't nobody making no examples. Everybody making laws and rules, but ain't nobody doing no physical damage like I'm talking about to you. It's time for physical damage.
With the society
only
laws and rules,
the
best option they can do is walk away and let women deal with the consequences of their life's decisions. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I'm down with the passport riders and shit. I love traveling and adventure and shit. Oh, yeah.
Red Pill Ring. Well, America done had this coming for a while. What they in need for now is a dictatorship. I bet you everybody get in line now. That's what's been had.
Yeah. A Mussolini.
A doggone Saddam Hussein and all them up dudes.
Red Pill Rick. Actually, I was a subscribe to you after our last encounter, so I enjoy your content, and we kind of see things the same. And I've been telling guys I've been like, hey, let's let this shit fall down. Ted say, no. I'm like, shit, hey, it's only going to take a couple of days, maybe even 24 hours, if garbage back up, if somebody can bring that grid down, somebody go pull up the satellite down, somebody can go pull a plug on that grid, and we that's going to shake some things up. But even after that, even all this shit fell together, I don't see again how any man with any pride or self-respect for him is going to be trying to pedestalize or treasure any of these bras to put a ring on them or whatever, or, you know, I mean, to you know what? I don't believe men should ever bring his emotions into a relationship with a woman.
But at the end of the day, a woman put on this earth for a man, not the other way around.
Well, that's cool, but somehow is, you know, you have to leave your you cannot control or what's another word I'm trying? over what you love. You can't you can't dominate what you loving. Okay.
I guarantee
that's
you can put the fear of God in them, Mr. Red Coast. I guarantee you can do that.
Again, what you loving, if you loving her and she disrespecting you, you're at a disadvantage. Okay?
Then you do what the Afghan men doing, she come up missing.
No, you don't be loving the hoe. No, you don't be loving the hoe. That's all. You leave your emotions.
Reggie,
you leave your emotions out of it.
Reggie, there's a much bigger problem. This has got nothing to do with love and emotions. The Taliban is going door to door telling women to go home. Send your brother here to work. They're going door to door to houses, and they're looking for single women. And saying, hey, we've got guys in the military that have married. My point that I'm making, not afraid to lay down bars. You can let this all crash and burn, and women are going to sit on the sideline and watch men rebuild it. Then say, it's all your fault. You all are incompetent. We should be in charge. That will happen. So we're going to be in the same exact position that we were in all over here because you never learn how to deal with women. That's why I'm talking about these guys in Afghanistan, because they learned how to deal with women. They learn to say no. They learn what's unacceptable. They have boundaries, and they dare you to go outside of the boundaries. Men here haven't learned that. We're talking about whether you have love and feelings and emotions, and I'm talking about, look, you built this society. You not only built it, you maintained it, and then you protect it by being in the military. If you're sending men out to die, when they come back, why should they be competing with women for jobs? Like that, as a society, we need to be thinking about that. It's got nothing to do with feelings.
Basically, we don't agree with like all the public ass beatings and all that stuff, but we agree with setting boundaries and having rules and expectations that we're lacking over here. We're telling women, hey, you can do whatever you want with your bodies, but the consequence, no, you know what, and just do it. Free of accountability, you know. And you know what, we got to send the captain single homes out here because they have a woman that's paying for her choices. They line up to go save her, you know. What they do is, oh, how can I donate? Oh, it's okay, you know, or they give the worst encouragement, you know. They get unlimited emotional support and financial support upon their request. They don't do that shit over there. Like, hey, you fucking up. It's going to be consequences. That's it. There's not going to be any, oh, poor baby, you know. No. You know, you're expected to act a certain way. This is what you're going to be doing. It's got to be over-deficit value because of consequences. Over here is where, hey, you're free to do what you want, and that's it, period. And you see what happens in society. You get weak men. You get a falling economy. Like, nothing is the way it should be. You get marriages that are failing. Affairs keep rising. I mean, what more do people want? So, I mean,
even
a debate, we observed it over like last two or three generations. So obviously what we're doing is not improving.
And you know, it's interesting, right? So look at when guys came back from World War II. The reputation of men in the United States was that they saved the world. They stopped history. So when men came back, I think everyone has seen that picture back then, that black and white of a man kissing a woman on the street in Times Square.
He didn't
even know that woman. He just walked up to her and kissed her. He didn't get Me Too. He didn't get arrested. None of that, right? And she kissed him. Why? Because he was a hero. He risked his life and he came back. And what you men get for being heroes, they get rewarded. So you figure, as men are leaving Europe and coming back to Asia, wherever they were first, they're coming back and if they're married or they had a girlfriend or if they were single, women treated them like heroes. So how do you treat a hero? What's your favorite meal, honey? What do you want? Men were taken care of. Why? Because they took care of the world. And so what the alphabet did in the 60s and 70s
to demonize those women and men and say those women were slaves. They were taking care of heroes. Those men earned it. The men who came back alive earned it. They stopped Hitler. If they didn't stop Hitler, they would be German. Right? So they figured out a way to make men bad, make women stupid and slaves for wanting to cater to men. And men didn't stop that. They didn't say, hey, you know, that's not the way to go. Because then when guys came back from Vietnam, they shoot them back, they spit on them.
So, and you know what? And I forgot my point. I was just about to say, and I forgot my point. Yeah, I got to draw on it. And I forgot my point.
But that Toby G said they came back and made babies, right?
Yeah, the baby boom, yeah.
Right?
Yo, Red Peter Reed.
Let's go.
This is my thing, man. With Afghan, so you know better than me. Explain to me what we doing in them people's country, trying to tell them people how to live and how to dictate to them people. Them military
really
folks
are
bringing their tail
away from over. Hey, wait, hold on. Hey, Reg, are you outside? Can you go on mute, Reg?
I'm driving down the street. Hold on.
All right. There you go. Go ahead, Kendrick. Say that again.
What I was asking, Red Pierre Regan was, so explain to me, because he know better than me. What we still doing over there in Afghan, messing with them people? Them military phone need to bring their boy in over there. Come on now. They've been over there about, 12, 13 years, and here you is still telling these people what they need to be doing, what they mean, and women over there. Leave them folk alone.
Oh, yeah. You mean going over there changing the whole way of life? Yeah,
them people whole way of life. What we doing messing with them people? What I look like coming in your house and telling you how to run your household and your old lady and all that kind of stuff, how y'all get down in the bedroom, all that. What I look like, man, trying to tell you. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly. You know, the Russians tried that. That didn't work out so well for them. We tried that. That's not working out. You can't force your beliefs and your politics on a nation that's not used to that kind of shit. You know, especially a country like Afghanistan. You go over there and tell them, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that. Like, who the hell are we, you know? We have stated goals already. Get rid of the Taliban from power. Get Osama bin Laden. Those been met. We should have been left by then. All right, you met those goals. Afghan government, do what you do, all right? And then leave. Like, why are we trying to teach our way to life? Because, again, like, people don't – we just go over to these nations and think that, hey, you know, we got this lovey-dovey thing where everyone gets to vote and all this. Well, not everyone grew up like that. You know, different cultures.
It was a big
you know?
Hope.
But this is my thing, Red, here.
Switch up a lifestyle.
Dumb man. But that's my whole point, Red Pill. Them dudes been in charge for I don't know how many centuries. And here in America, we buck wild over here, and we going to go tell this man how he need to. You must have lost your man. You going to tell them people how to lead them.
Well, like I said, it's a big
how we policing the world? We ain't supposed to be policing the world. I ain't signing up for that. Crazy.
I mean, we need to stop being the police of the world because we see how ungrateful a lot of countries be, you know. They whine when we're doing something.
Well, they should be ungrateful. Why should America be the police of the world?
Give their money and just let people handle their own business. Let them handle their own politics. You know what I'm saying? So,
we have a new caller coming in. That's Joe. Joe from Montana. Joe, were you ever in the military?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes. Were you ever in the military, Joe?
Can you hear me? Because I'm having problems with my app.
We can hear you.
So we hear you loud and clear, Joe. You got it. Your
can
app
you
is yeah. Yes, we hear you loud and clear. Your app is acting up again, Joe.
All right, I'm going to fix it. Try to fix it in a few minutes. But to ask your to answer your question, yeah, I was in the military. And I just got here, so you opened my mic up fairly quickly. But I agree with Red Pill and with Kendricks. And if you stated the same opinion, I agree with you. We should not be the police of the world because, number one, our boys die being the police of the world. Secondly, that's not even the major intention of what the Pentagon wants. The Illuminati, the Cabal, whatever you want to call them, I call them the Rothschilds. They just want control of the world, and they do it through other people's countries through their military. 20 years in a nation and people with guns that date back to, I don't know, the 1920s have defeated the number one superpower in the world. Come
right.
on. If that's not suspicious, I don't know what is.
Well, so here's when we went into Afghanistan in 2001, as soon as I heard about the poppy fields, I said, watch heroin come, right? So in New Jersey, the young guys, these were guys in their 20s back then, at some point they said the drug ecstasy disappeared. It was so hard to find. And heroin was in great abundance. It was all over the place. So that came after 2001. So we went over there and we destroyed a lot of things. And I remember the media, when we first went in, the media asked a general, Mr. General, have you destroyed the poppy fields? No, we haven't. We haven't been able to. So we took, maybe this was, I'm making a wild speculation, right? And this is how my speculation sounds. Afghanistan, like you were saying, Red Pill, they have a lot of tribes. So they didn't unify so that they could build education system, roads, sewer system, like all the things, you know, banking systems. They didn't build the infrastructure to run a unified country. So United States said, we'll do it. Let us have the poppy fields. How long is it going to take you? We can do it in 20 years. Great. When 20 years come, you have to get out, like not maybe. So here we are at 20 years. Afghanistan says your time is up. And some guy is writing a book that he's saying he's got freedom of information, and he's got messages from Rumsfeld and a few other, vice presidents or secretary of state that was clearly indicating the U.S. was not in charge of Afghanistan. The Taliban was not crushed.
No.
And so they were still running things. So my theory or speculation is that U.S. had access to poppy fields. They would also build infrastructure, and you could have all the poppy fields you want. And when 20 years comes, you leave. Now, if the U.S. decides, well, we're not ready to leave yet, the Taliban says, you can stay if you like, but we have thousands of men in your country, and if you don't leave, we will start a war in your territory, and it will be worse than anything you can imagine. So you leave when you said you would leave. These are people who are fearless, and like Joe just said, they have guns from 1920, and they will still fight you. Now, we could drop a bomb on them like we did Japan, and that demoralizes people. But if you go head to head, pound for pound, Afghan men have a different kind of spirit, just like Japan had it during World War II. So I'm speculating. We got something out of it. We helped them build an infrastructure. Hell, China's doing the same thing all over the world, building roads and infrastructure, and they're owning parts of countries. So, but Afghanistan, maybe the way they played it, they didn't want to get played. So they said, you have to leave. And we've put things in place that if you don't leave, we will retaliate.
See, that's news to me. I didn't know about that.
About which part? I'm speculating on things.
About them having people on our streets, you know, ready to start stuff if we didn't leave within a time frame.
I mean, come on. The Afghan people, we've got more. I live here in New York and New Jersey. It's more Afghans than I've ever seen over the past 20 years.
You know, I can believe it. I mean, without a doubt. I mean, like I said, you got all the technology in the world, but you can't fight ideology, you know.
Exactly.
All it takes is, you don't even need that many people. Five people, you know, with weapons can cause chaos, you know what I'm saying? And that's relatively cheap.
They'll put a bomb on it. We don't have that kind of mentality.
You know what I'm saying? So, but the country...
That's what I was talking about.
Let's go back to what I said. Like, the major cities, we had them, but the countryside was all theirs. You know what I'm saying? We were still contesting over those places.
Okay.
So,
So the Taliban was basically still running things.
They were still running. Yeah, they were very active. So and they held true to their word, because I got there just as they said they're going to step up their attacks. And as a matter of fact, 2010 was their worst year for Afghanistan. If you look at the charts, I believe it started shooting up around 2009. It went up like this in 2010, and then it came down a little bit. But that's a whole different story.
So, Regan. So let me ask you this. So had the Taliban revealed to the Al-Qaeda and Hamas and Jihad, if you could touch on those regimes real quick.
What about them?
Yes, sir. Can you kind of correlate to those other regimes that I just named?
Their names?
Can you elaborate some on them in the correlation to each other? Which one the most revered over in there? Is it the Taliban or the Al-Qaeda, Hamas, or Jihad? I think Jihad,
well,
right?
The mainstream belief is that Al-Qaeda was pretty much a terrorist group operating freely in Afghanistan under the Taliban's watch. You know, they had training camps and all that. And that was part of the reason why we went to Afghanistan, because we believed that the people that did the training and the attacking were staging out there.
Right.
So that's why we went there.
Right.
But behind the scenes, I've heard that Al-Qaeda was supposed to be really a CIA creation. You know, depending on what you believe, I don't know if you're asking me that to see if I'm aware of that, but I have heard if that's the direction you're headed. Tim Hoffman. Yeah, I hope I don't get you blacklisted, Chad. I'm never saying this stuff. But, like, suppose he was really a CIA agent put in place so that it can be used as a excuse to start wars with other countries to establish a central bank. Now, that is the behind-the-scenes belief, but the mainstream is the one that Al-Qaeda is a terrorist organization
right. That
operated out of Afghanistan, long story short, which is why we went over there to Afghanistan to deprive them of that area to operate out of. And then ISIS took their place, and you know how this goes, man.
Well, wait, what the U.S. did admit to is that they trained Al-Qaeda. They trained
the Mujahideen, they were known as back then, during the Russian days, right?
Right, they trained them. So the U.S. invested millions of dollars training them to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So we did.
So what about Hamas, Ted? Hamas and Jihad? What type of groups are those over there?
Yeah, that's just the word for, like, holy war, like jihad and all that. That's all that is.
Right.
Like their own crusade. That's basically all it is, really. But they consider it a holy war because the way they see it, we were just imposing on their way of life that conflicted with their beliefs. You see what I'm saying? Like, the ANA, the Afghan government, they were doing it for the paycheck, and it showed when it came time to actually, you know, step up and defend themselves. A lot of them, they just said, hey, fuck it, you know, we're not going to fight. Here's all the weapons, you know, all those night vision goggles and all that stuff, all our M4s, our Humvees, y'all can have them. We're not going to fight. Some of them even fled to other countries, you know, so they weren't really in it, you know what I'm saying? Most of them hadn't even been paid because the officers in charge weren't even paying them. Like, what they were doing was they would inflate the numbers. Let's say the guy had only 5,000 soldiers under his command. He would make up names and inflate the numbers, say, hey, I got 8,000. And he would collect the paychecks for those 3,000 ghost soldiers, you know what I'm saying? And they were sending their guys out with no food, sometimes no ammo. You know, you're not going to create a very coherent and loyal army when you're treating them like that, you know what I'm saying? So who do you think they're going to choose, you know, when it comes time to fight, the Taliban or the government? So,
I have my cousin retired from the Air Force, and he just sent – just tonight, this is coincidence, he sent a text message to, we have a family text message, and he said, the press is full of shit. The arms that are being collected by the Taliban is from what we have sold to Afghanistan military and police for over 20 years. They didn't want to fight, so they laid their shit down. This has happened every engagement, Korea, Vietnam, and Iraq. The press, he says, the press needs to stop acting like the military dropped their shit and ran. Plus, the equipment we left over there gets hollowed out. He said, that shit is old. We never bring it back. We've been selling shit to them under Bush, Obama, and Trump. The winner is the military-industrial complex, civilian companies, making money hand over fist for decades.
And you see, a lot of the commanders, they're also fighting for the other team. Like in Iraq, for example, we actually found an Iraqi army unit who had RKG-3s. They're not allowed to have those. Really? If you know what RKG-3s are, those are the – they're pretty much armor-piercing grenades. They came out big on the news years ago when they first started hitting the scene. Basically, they throw them over fences. They throw them over the walls. A parachute opens up, and the charge that actually penetrates the armor falls right on top of the armor. And it was actually killing people. So obviously the Iraqi army was not allowed to have that. But yet we found crates and it was like, why the hell do you have these? You know? So either they were getting them or they were harboring for the insurgents to come get later.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So they had a lot of infiltrations going on. Like there was no way. They had 20 years to replenish. If they had 20 years to get their shit together, that's what I'm saying. If they never got it, you know, together by then, they never will.
Well, they have infrastructure now that they didn't have 20 years ago, and the U.S. built that. So I guess the one thing that maybe also I didn't say, in which I bet is not a theory, U.S. businesses still have a presence there, whether it's dealing with oil and gas, mining, any other thing. Amazon, Amazon delivered by the Taliban. So. But U.S., I bet you U.S. businesses, as the military leaves, I assume there may still be some small fraction of a military presence there, because U.S. businesses are probably have established themselves over the past 20 years. What do you think?
They released something a few days ago saying that they may not be able to get everybody out of Afghanistan by the deadline, which obviously is not good news. And supposedly the Taliban is already breaking their end of the bargain, and they allegedly started attacking American citizens trying to go to the airport, which if it's true, violates, you know, the whole agreement. So personally, I think we need to step up stuff to make things happen, but right now I don't think Joe Biden is going to make that call, but that's a whole different story. But the whole thing about keeping the presence there, maybe SF, Special Forces, you know, not making it obvious, maybe wearing plain clothes, but uniform presence, I don't know about that.
Hey, Fred, in Mace Diamond. So one of the things that, well, he said young Afghan boys became men. Well, see, you addressed that, Red Pill. You said a lot of these guys came up softer than the guys before them, because they were these young boys 20 years ago grew up in feminism.
Feminist beliefs, giving women more rights, you know, allowing them to work, pretty much giving them way more freedoms than they used to having, you know what I'm saying? You know, and you see what happened, you know, when it came time to actually show up, you know, and fight for what you believe in. It just didn't happen, you know.
They ran to the airport. Right.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, Ted, your theory about the 20-year arrangement with Afghanistan, that would make for a nice TV movie, but it has a grain of truth in it. Has anybody here ever read The Economic Hitman by John Perkins? He's an ex-CIA whistleblower.
Yeah, I've heard about it. Yes.
Okay. Well, that's how America takes over countries. It makes arrangements with the dictators so that they'll give them money, and as a result of giving them the money, the dictators will allow the American companies to come into the country and build up the infrastructure. But the profits go back to America.
Of course.
Okay? And if the dictator says no, then the, what does he call it? I forget. It's...
Did we lose you, Joe?
Man, did he say he was out somewhere that he may lose reception or something?
I think he's using an app, and it may not be on point tonight. He's usually pretty good. But what I heard of that book, The Economic Hitman, and so he just he's what I'm using as a theory, he's saying that that happens in reality. I mean, for me, that's the way this situation looks, right? You had 20 years to do it, and in return, we want access to your poppies, unlimited access to do what we want with it. We're going to need some labor from you. And heroin flooded the streets. Most people don't know. Someone take a guess, and you guys may have heard this already. The fastest growing segment of heroin users in the U.S., who do you think that is? The fastest segment of U.S. population of heroin users for the past, I don't know, 10 years, five years, I'll say. Who do you think that
is? And I got a comment about that as well, but I'll bring it up after this.
It's women who earn high incomes. They've been the fastest growing users of heroin. Women who earn high income. That's crazy. Women in the United States who earn high income are college educated. That means they earn most likely over $100,000, and they are heroin users.
What's the agenda, Ted, with them being heroin users? I don't get that.
No one wants to talk about it, right? It slips out in the media, and then they close the door on it and don't talk about it again. So I'm going to assume a lot of these women have gotten themselves a high earning position means responsibility and some level of leadership.
And
they're probably not handling the pressure so well. So heroin has become the solution.
And you know what? It's funny you say that because back in 2016, working in the hospital, we had a pandemic of a lot of overdoses from heroin. So you know how there was like a crack epidemic,
right?
You know, back in the 80s and the mid 90s,
right?
It was like a heroin era going on during that time. We had a lot of people OD, people who were dying from that, people who were fighting fire on the street. We had a lot of that coming in through the ED. So when you talk about how the
ecstasy disappeared. So not even the same kind of drug, right? So ecstasy and heroin are very different highs. So as disappeared, heroin flooded the streets, man. It was crazy. What were you gonna say, Ken?
But that auto drug, it had increased long before COVID-19 come along. I'm trying to think of it. They call it?
Meth.
They call it that, oh, my God. That meth. Yeah, that meth lab stuff. A lot of that stuff, people was hooked on that, Ted, before.
That's correct. That's true. But what I'm getting at is Afghanistan is where the heroin was growing. What I'm saying in theory is we went over there to get the heroin, and in return we built infrastructure for them. And as someone, Kendi Diallo, said, China is the winner of the Afghanistan war. I want to hear why. What do you think of that, Red Pill?
I think because it's strategic. Because when we were in Afghanistan, you're pretty much right there in Central Asia. You got China close by, Russia right there, and you got Iran pretty much sandwiched between the Afghan bases and the Iraq ones. So pretty much we had a lot of our enemies, you know, in a very strategic, vulnerable position. And without us in Afghanistan, pretty much it kind of an opportunity to move in and fill that void, which you were talking about with that vacuum. Russia included, because Russia is pretty much almost right there as well.
Yeah, Russia learned their lesson about Afghanistan.
I think the Russians went back with us early in 2001, if I'm not mistaken.
No kidding. Really?
Yeah, I think there was a very brief period, if I'm not mistaken. I think they did. I got to look that up. So I remember they were getting reports of, like, some Russians beating the shit out of the Afghans.
Really?
I think as retribution, but...
We'll show you guys. We'll show you around, but then we have to leave, right? We know it.
He said the gear left behind, the purpose. The gear left behind, like you said, it came from the ANA, the Afghan National Army. That's where they got the MVGs, all the M4s from. That's a lot of weapons, man. I mean, I don't know why we didn't I don't know, man. Typically, well, from our side, I know we left stuff behind as well, not just from the Afghan National Army. So you're supposed to either take it back with you, or if you can't take it back with you, destroy it so they can't use it. But obviously, that's not what happened. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was left behind on purpose, just like they did before. That's what happened. It was left behind on purpose. Ted, I got to apologize for the constant recalling. I don't know if it's my phone, my app, or my wireless. So if I get disconnected one more time, I'll just stop calling in until the next time. But to answer the Red Pills Inquisition there, you see, you don't know why. It's because it's left behind on purpose. Remember a couple of years ago, there was a lot of military equipment that was left behind also, I think it was in Iraq. And that was not on purpose. It was to give ISIS a lot of ammunition and a lot of munitions and a lot of equipment to be used against us. This is a world globalization effort to conquer more of the world, more and more incrementally at a time, using nations against each other.
It's a setup.
In my opinion. Yeah. Does anybody disagree with me?
I don't, but I believe.
So
hey, Joe.
Joe, just quick. Joe, Red Pill, he actually spent most of his time, his tour was in Iraq. So what do you think of what he just said?
I haven't heard about that issue that happened in Iraq. It happened a couple of years ago. I was in Iraq in 2008. But like I said, man, I mean, that's news to me, so I can't really comment about equipment being left in Iraq. But this whole thing in Afghanistan, it's a fucked up situation. I've seen it with night vision goggles, you know.
Really?
You know, F-15s. Huh?
I just said, really? So they got
very sensitive equipment. One of our advantages is able to operate at night and still see them. Now, they're going to have that same advantage. All you need is fucking batteries to use the night vision. That's it.
Wow.
It takes AA batteries or triple. I can't remember which ones. And that's it. Yeah, that's all you need. So that's not going to be hard to find if you don't get maintenance. You know,
in Afghanistan, it's $93 million worth of equipment that's left behind. You can't just leave that behind.
I posted a picture today where the Taliban basically did a mockery. I'm sure we're all familiar with the U.S. Marine Corps. One of their symbolic moments is the raising of the flag on Iwo Jima, right? I basically just shared a news article where they had Taliban soldiers dressed in equipment that they got that's American made with night vision goggles and all, wearing our uniforms or the ANA uniforms, M4s, and they're raising the flag. You go check it out. They basically restaged the whole thing, raising the Taliban flag, basically mocking us. So, and they're showing a lot of pictures of them cruising around with M4s, you know, the ACOGs, the up-armored Humvees, and the 50 caliber machine guns, the M2s, you know what I'm saying? So they got a lot of our equipment.
Like I said, $93 million worth. And the excuse they used a few years ago. Now, maybe I think I was right about Iraq. But I do know that the excuse years ago, whatever country that the American military pulled out, probably Iraq, and left behind their equipment, they said it was too heavy to bring back home. It wasn't too heavy to bring over there.
That
and it sure as hell isn't too heavy to bring back home. Right, Kendrick?
And take back their full of shit.
But Red Pill Region, this is my thing. Now, they saying the Taliban or somebody bombed them towers, right? Okay. But when it flew that plane in there, okay, kid, here my thinking. Okay, if them people with that thing, why they ain't shoot an intercontinental missile over here all this time? Come on now. If the Taliban and all them folk over there was so dangerous, why they ain't shoot no intercontinental ballistic missile over here?
Why didn't shoot no what? You understand, Ted?
Yeah, them intercontinental ballistic nukes over here. Why they ain't shoot one of them over here? If them folks so bad, Red Pill Reed. Come on now, you got to think.
Why they didn't shoot a nuke over here?
Yeah, think about it. When all this 9/11
was going on. That's why. It's, like, how they going to get it? Who's going to tell us?
But you,
But
you see what I'm saying, right? The million pin they were spending that thing by, oh, they got mass weapons of mass destruction over there. They trying to kill up everybody. All right, but look what's going on right now. So somebody land red pill, Rich.
I mean, you always got to think about probably the potential consequences if they went ahead and dropped. Let's say they managed to get a hold of a nuclear weapon and released one here on the U.S. soil. You know how much that was? I mean, it'll be bad for us, but at the same time, you have any idea the world sympathy will have for us? It'll basically tip things back in our favor. That is a bad PR move if they ever do something like that. You know what I'm saying? Because world perception does matter. So I don't see them ever taking that type of, you know, action for that reason. You know what I'm saying?
But they pinning them out to be some boogeyman. But come on now, America been over there all the time though, Red Pill. Come on now, something wrong with that pitch. It's some fishy.
I believe
firstly,
a lot
they
of
don't have the they don't have the ability to launch an ICBM. Okay, that's number one. Number two, as Red Pill is saying, it might be a bad PR move. Yes, if they have dirty bombs. Every nation has a dirty bomb somehow acquired from either the Russians or the United States. If they were to let go a dirty bomb in the United States, and if the Congress actually had people in Congress that had a backbone, they would make a parking lot out of that little country in 5 minutes. Okay? So it really isn't, again, it really isn't with the agenda of the Rothschilds to have that kind of stuff done now. I mean, now it might, but back then, no. All right? What they prefer is incrementalism, the so-called vaccine, which is going around, to kill off everybody in a nice incremental way. So by the time that it does do it, they will have reached immortality through fusion, through the human.
Joe, before we go down the path of the vaccine, I have a question. So the topic for tonight, and I have subtopics, so let me give you the main topic. Did Afghan men get it right when it comes to women, right? So my subtopic is do Afghan men know something do Afghan men know something Western men don't? Or do men in Afghanistan understand female nature better than men in the U.S.?
Yeah, I read your headline. I'm curious about that.
So,
what's the answer? Does anybody have a consensus?
Go ahead. Okay, I was going to say.
All right. So, what's the general?
We think that what the Taliban is doing is they're applying common sense to stuff that we know. One of their beliefs is that women have no place in the workplace because look at what happened. Aside from less work production, as Ted has showed the numbers before, you know, you also get higher rates of affairs, you know what I'm saying? So that comes into play. They don't believe in men and women hanging out together, even on a platonic level, because you know what really happens. We see that ourselves. What they're doing is applying common sense, you know, of how men and women are. Now, we don't agree with, like, the Stonies and, you know, being with the wooden planks and across the back and all that stuff, but what they're doing is keeping order to the way biology pretty much made us be, you know what I'm saying? They're pretty much preserving a way of life that has lived for thousands of years, and it's pretty much if it's not broke, why fix it? Because you see what happens when we let women pretty much whatever they want right now.
No,
you know what I'm saying? And because they play the oppression card,
right,
when they do something wrong or their life gets fucked up, we're over here trying to listen to them or blame outside factors, you know what I'm saying? They see what's going on because they are not the ignorant cave people that a lot of arrogant people here in the U.S. think they are. They are very much aware of how things go on over here. And I shared a story about an Afghan soldier we had that we were talking to. He knew English as well. He had to talk to us. And he was asking us about why things work. This was 2010, mind you. I didn't know anything about the Red Pill, none of that stuff. And he was asking, like, why is stuff like that okay over there? Because if someone even looks at my wife, I will kill him. So it's not so much as controlling women, it's controlling how men and women are. You know, because a man is looking at your wife, he ain't doing
shit. You got background noise.
And all that, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that me? So, hold on, girl. Hold on, me. Get me. Hold on.
Yeah, man. All
right,
go ahead, keep going.
But yeah, it's basically, they just understand. And Ted, if you want to share your story again about how they're very protective of the women over there. It's not so much trying to control. It's more like trying to protect the women as well to keep things in order. But you want to share your story that you shared earlier again.
I think you might
show it late.
Which one?
The guy from Sudan, I think he was, where he said, if you have my sister.
Yeah, I worked with a Sudanese guy, and he was telling me that if you have sex with my sister and don't marry her, he said, my father's coming after you to kill you. He said, but the problem is my father will never make it to you because I'm going to kill you first. So if you,
that's what
you
I'm have, talking about.
Hold on, Kendra. So if you're not married to my sister and you have sex with her and you think you're just going to walk away, you're shaming my family. And he said, now we can't even marry my sister off because she's been tainted by you who you know, embarrassed my family. So we have to get rid of you. So then we could say, well, the man who was going to marry her died.
Exactly. So you can't. So they hold men accountable. You see, what they do is they only tell you one side of the story, like, oh, women can't do this, women can't do that. But they treat men just as harshly who don't abide by the rules. So it's not one-sided. This is when people were saying that you can't believe everything the media tells you because they're once again playing to that victim story. You know what I'm saying? So, yes, they got things in order. You know, they got their own rules, but tell the whole picture. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's not like us men are off the hook. It's not a 100% patriarchy like they try to say it is. You know what I'm saying?
It absolutely is. And again, go ahead, Kendricks.
And just like you and Red Peter Rick, just say, that story of Ted was just talking about, those were shotgun weddings back in the day. And I'm still up under that same upbringing.
Well, that's patriarchy,
but it's females using the patriarchy. Take a look at that example of what was just given. If the guy is being killed, the girl is now a victim. She lays back. She lets her brother and her father do the dastardly deed. They can get in trouble by killing the guy. So, and now she's a poor little girl who is shamed, but that shame can be lifted if the guy is dead. So now as a result of her victimhood, these guys have to go out of their way to kill another guy. What about her responsibility? Nobody forced her to spread open her legs. So I don't care what culture it is. If it's still making the guy punished, then it's still the girl who has control for her victimhood. I don't care if it's Afghanistan or India.
But they killing them women too.
Go ahead, man. My bad.
But Red Pill, you were saying that the guy is held accountable. That has a connotation that it's okay to kill him because he did something wrong. No, it's a bunch of family egos getting involved because of culture, putting these guys at risk by going after another guy who went for their sister, who gladly opened up her legs and knew that if she didn't get the marriage proposal, she could get him killed indirectly. It's like what girls over here do when they say, you know what, you promised to marry me, but since you didn't, I'm going to sue you for, they can still do that. I forget what it was. It was reneging, breach of promise. And now you can go after a guy over here for alienation of affection. So it's still the female controlling the guy.
But you see, it's not that
we
got to
wake up and say. It is that simple. That's just what happens.
Like I said, she's tainted. She's going to get looked at a certain way regardless. It's not like her life is going to be easy.
Right.
But the point we were trying to make women are so oppressed. The point we're making is that men can't just do whatever they want under the Taliban like people think it is. I'm saying that their way of life, men are still held accountable for their actions as well. Meanwhile, the media is painting a whole different picture. You know, they're saying that women are so oppressed, women are so
I know, but I'm disagreeing with you. I'm disagreeing with you. You're saying men are held accountable. You're saying men are held accountable. The connotation is they did. To be held accountable means you have done something wrong. For the guy to have sex with the girl.
Hold on.
For the guy to have sex with the girl who willingly wants him to have sex with her, and now he doesn't want to marry her. Maybe she doesn't want to marry him, but, you know, wants a big dick. and then says, I don't care if any, what happens to the guy. But yeah, okay, so I'll go through some shame, but once they kill him, I am now a form of mea culpa, but now I am forgiven. I am absolved of my so-called sin. Where's the burden?
Hold on, Joe. So, Wani,
okay.
Are you from Sudan?
Yes, Mr.
Okay.
Tate. I'm from Sudan, yeah.
So we have someone from Sudan. He can clear this matter up for us. So I shared a story with a former colleague, right? So you can tell us so that we can all understand it better.
Man, just let me say, first of all, I acknowledge the president of Redfield, Rick, and in the house, and also the good job you've been doing for men, you know, bro, Ted.
Thank you.
And all the bros that are sharing with us all the time, we come here to discuss matters affairs to men. You know, matter of fact, I moved here to Western country about 15 years ago. And it was a bit of a culture shock for me to see what's happening in the West. Men are not men. And the majority.
Can I ask you, what do you mean by that? So you're looking at a contrast,
well,
right? So you see men in your country, and you see men here. So what do you mean, men are not men?
Well, I see most men speak like ladies. They don't speak like men, you know? Like, men supposed to be a man. You have to speak like a man. Like now, when we're talking here, we're talking like men.
Right.
But most often we see men speaks very soft in the Western country, and more women speak like men.
Yeah.
In the workplace, in the street, and everywhere. Like, actually, we're reversing the nature.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, before the exit of the Americans from Afghanistan, I was thinking that if the people like the Taliban would come to us here, they will crush us very easily. And that's one thing. That's one thing that we need to look with in the West very, very carefully. Men, like, if you can just see one example, bros. If those men can cling into a C-17 while this plane is taking off, that explains to you exactly what kind of heart those men have. that pictures that has been repeated worldwide. Those men that clings, and they will actually not leave alone those that are running along, the thousands, the hundreds of them that are running along the C-17 while it's trying to take off. And then there was few of them, maybe six or seven of them, that cling up into the C-17 until it went up to probably 2,000 feet up. That tells what kind of heart these people have.
Right.
Yeah, but yeah. Let me not make the discussion to become a monotone, but matter of fact is that we in the West, we need to be very careful that because this nation was built with the sweat and the blood of men, and was built up to now that the West country, America, Canada, United Kingdom become a superpower because it was because of men. Men are the one who has brought this power and the stages that we are upon it now, and this has to be preserved. And means that when we're protecting this power and we're protecting this might that we have in America and Canada, United Kingdom, and all the places that we have now, means that our women are protected as well.
Exactly.
Means that our offspring generations are protected. I came from Africa, from Sudan, but I've seen now that the way how the trend is going. When I see I'm raising boys, I have three boys and two girls myself. And my boys, when I rumble with them and we play boxing with them and all these things, they go sometimes to the park to play with other boys that are raised by single mom. They see them very soft. Soft boys. You know, they can't even play football. They can't even, you know, play rumbling. They can't even play soccer. Yeah, you see boys that are 14, 15, they're already overweight, very soft boys. And this is very risk for our countries.
Yep.
But let me tell you something. You know, I'm actually from Sudan, but I'm actually from South Sudan. Sudan and South Sudan were one country until 2011 when we split.
Okay.
I grew up in the North Sudan, in the capital, Khartoum. And we have tribes
in the west, in the East Sudan, in a place called Kassala. That's in the border with Ethiopia, and up and then up in the border with Egypt. That's the same that they call Hadandawa. And Hadandawa, their culture is that they have always worked with knives and swords. One thing that one of you mentioned earlier, that don't ask him about his sisters. If you wanted to create war and get maybe hurt by this man, ask him, say, how is your sister doing? Or your mom? He will say, what the fuck? What do you want from my sister? He will pull his knife out.
Mm-hmm.
That's a very simple example, because you are a man. You're supposed to deal with me as a man. Leave the women alone. Yeah, that's one aspect. But also, if when I tell you about the culture that happened in Khartoum, which I grew most of my time, from the time I moved from South Sudan, I was 10, and then I grew up in Khartoum until I was 23 when I left. In Khartoum, in the house, a compound is being split between men's side and women's side. Up to now, up to this very moment we're talking, you go to Khartoum, there is a women's side in the compound and there is a male side. When I visit you, you're my friend, I'm visiting you at home, I go to, first of all, women don't open doors. You knock the door, men will come open the door. If man is not home, the door is not getting open to you.
Mm-hmm.
Unless that's the whole house, you're going to a whole place.
Let me ask you a question. So
go ahead.
What if your sister, right? She's 20 years old, and she wants to just have sex with some guy, right? And she was never planning to marry him. And I don't know how you can prove that, but what if she does? Is there a penalty for your sister? And if the guy walks away, is there a penalty for him?
Let me tell you that. This culture is both in South and in the North, in the West and the East of Sudan, the same thing. In the South, even it's worse than in the North. In the North, you can get, like, if you're very smart, if they are both Muslims, they can marry. Once you can, if you're smart, you can have sex with a woman, but if you get caught, then there is condition here. When you're Muslim, you have to marry this woman immediately. Immediately.
What's immediate? Like the same day, a week? What is?
In the same day that you guys got caught.
Oh.
Wow.
The
father or the brother, whoever caught you, they immediately drag you to the mosque and bring the imam, and then they say, look, from here, you got to marry this woman. And if you don't want, that's where trouble comes.
What? And tell me what trouble looks like, honestly.
Like if you both are Muslims, if they are both, the man and the lady are Muslims, they will take them now to the court, and then from there, they will execute the Sharia. But the Sharia doesn't excuse that situation. You must marry that girl and period. There is no negotiation. Whether you like it in the peaceful way or by the country law, you must marry that lady. There is no way around it. So like if you don't want by peaceful way, they will take you to the court and then the court will impose that on you by the court order. You must marry that. And then when you go that way, it's going to hurt you badly because they're gonna fine you some money and some other stuff that you are not supposed to. Like you can get around it very easily.
Okay.
When you just accepted to marry her.
Hmm.
In the South Sudan, rather, it's different. In the South Sudan, first, you and your mom, like people getting beaten, sometimes people getting killed. You yourself, like for example, if I have a sex with a girl in South Sudan, and then I get caught. So there is two things that I can do. I run for my life and take the girl away with me. Or she ran for her life and I ran for my life, and then my families will handle this situation. The family of the lady will come, they will beat my mom, my brothers, people will fight, sometimes people getting killed. Is there somebody talking?
It's okay, don't worry about it. It's all right.
Yeah, so that's in the South Sudan. after the people, after the relative of the ladies calm their anger down by beating you guys up, some people get carried to hospital with broken legs and broken arm, broken neck. Some people get killed. Then after that, they will resolve the matter. The police will come and intervene. And then now that the process of the wedding will start.
So by law, you have the police involved.
Well, first before they don't, the police don't involve the family of the girl will handle the matter.
I understand, but at some point by law you can involve the police.
Yes.
Serious.
Yes, that's when things get very serious. The police, you don't call the police. Some people will run. For example, my family, if I slept with a girl or pregnated the lady, I better run to the police station before the lady's family get to me. Sometimes my family will be deserted. All my mom, my brothers, my cousin, whoever lives in the family, will have to close the doors and run to the police station or evacuate to the village.
Wow.
Somewhere to go hide. This thing is not easy to mess with somebody's daughters in Africa, especially in some other countries in Africa. You get killed in it.
One of the situations that
was solved is that in the cultural that when a lady she has her period, immediately they give her to a man, like the moment that she become ready, when the tits are coming out and she starts to have her period, they arrange for marriage immediately so that to avoid this kind of situations.
Okay, so here's the question: they arrange for a marriage. How do you know, how does your family know which family to marry their children to?
Well, you know, when you have a girl and the girl has started to become like 10, 12,
right?
Immediately, right. Yeah, 10, 12, immediately the friend, a very good friend, the dad's friend or the neighbor who is very good, immediately you will see there is a talk between the parents.
Okay.
Yeah, they will join. They will talk. We see this girl now is getting to be, because the thing is that they want to avoid.
Let me ask you one question. Is it just between the fathers, or is both parents, mother and father?
No, first is between the fathers. Mothers don't involve into this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The fathers will talk about it, and then when the fathers talk about it, maybe we'll involve the uncles. Women don't involve. They just women come and prepare the lady when everything is sealed.
So the men just handle everything, the women just...
Men handle everything, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, the men handle everything until it is sealed. When it is sealed, the women just, they're urinating and they make noise, and then they prepare the bride, you know?
So what happens if your daughter doesn't want to marry that guy?
There's nothing like that. But now with the same idea that now that the West is importing the idea of the culture, the Western culture now, it's creating a lot of conflict back home in the countries. Yeah. In the countries that are trying to adopt, sometimes you see a girl is running away because she don't want to get to marry to whoever the man that the father or the uncles choose for her. So sometimes she ran away. Sometimes the man also, he ran away if he doesn't want, you know.
There's lots
of conflicting things, but that wasn't there the 30 years ago. It wasn't there.
Right, let me just ask one question. So Hollywood movies, are they being shown in your country?
Well, it's just this ideology of the women empowerment and the women education and women rights, like the rights of women. There are some rights of women that we have in the West cannot be translated to other countries because, you know, first of all, you have to understand that we here in the West, we are multicultural. So when people come to us here, we adopt the culture that's here, although we have our own cultures. So sometimes we abandon or we compromise our cultures to adopt the cultures here.
Right.
So the same culture that is here, we cannot import it, we cannot export it to other countries. This is wrong, like, you know, like my brother Red Phil Rick and I stayed, and we all agree to that. Previously on my comments, I said, I put a comment there, I said that let's presume that the Taliban invade America and then they want to put all the women back into homes and kitchens.
Right.
What is going to happen?
Mayhem.
Hell is going to come down.
Because that is
not the culture that we had for the last 50 years.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it means that we cannot also export our culture to other people. We can maybe give them, and then they will give them the option to take whatever it's good and whatever it's not working with them. Then we like, you know, we look to whatever they, we give them something, and then you let them choose whatever it's good.
And then,
but we don't go invade the country, change the government, and then import a culture.
Right.
That is like now, like what now has happened to Afghanistan is a total failure. So the next thing that America has to prove itself into Afghanistan could have maybe returned back to war, maybe nuke the country so that at least it subdued the Taliban. But the Taliban, they have planned for the last maybe 18 years how they can take over the country from America again. And they did it very peacefully. And that's what happened in the... That's what happened in the art of war, that if you can win without bloodshed, why not?
You know what? It wouldn't surprise me if the ANA, one of the reasons why they didn't fight was because they didn't like the new changes that came with our involvement. You know, I think that could be another possibility. They're like, they didn't like it. They didn't grow up that way. So they're like, hey, this, you know.
You see, I read the book of the executive order by Tom Clancy. Tom Clancy mentioned something very that which I did not know. The book is over 1,500 pages. I just finished it about 3 months ago. He said that if you want to mess with the people on this earth, don't try it in Afghanistan. Because those people, they have held their values and their culture for 5,000 years, and emperors tried invade that country, and always they left defeated from the British, from the Ottomans, from the Russian, you name it. Every person that goes to Afghanistan, you come from there, even after 30 years, they will defeat you.
Even NATO. Germany was there, France.
Even NATO was there. Germany was there, yes.
You know, a lot of European nations, Poland was there. I know, I saw those guys there.
So yeah, the thing is that these people they have the spirit of sacrificing themselves for their values and the culture that their ancestors gave them. You know, modernizing them is a good thing, but it has to be left up to them. They have to decide.
So
now even in my country, there is so many conflicting of cultures. There's so many things that is going wrong in that country now.
Really.
Yeah.
So with Afghanistan, see, that's part of what I'm getting at. So if the men have that kind of fighting spirit and they're willing to put their lives on the line, when the war is over, when they come home, they should get the jobs. But here in the United States, if you go to war, like, you know, Red Pill was in the military. He was in Iraq and Afghanistan. When he comes back, he shouldn't be told, well, we're giving jobs to women. The men who protected the country should get first choice. Why? Because
the
women are being protected by those very men that are out there. So if you don't give those men jobs, it's gonna be like Vietnam. They're homeless. They're drinking. They become society's wasteland, and no one deals with it. So I think that's a problem. That's part of our culture here, is that we're not putting value on men, which is a big problem. And it's what you said. If Afghanistan came here, but you know what? We don't even need Afghanistan to come here. We've got the drug lords, El Chapo in Mexico. Listen, they recently, I think it was last year or the year before, they defeated the Mexican military, okay? And feminists are disappearing, and any man who defends a feminist, he disappears also. They are not playing. They are in the South. I lived in Mexico for almost 2 years, and when you talk to Mexicans about Texas, Nevada, Arizona, California, you know, those places, in their mind, it's still Mexico, and they're still upset that the United States has that land. So I wouldn't be surprised, like you were saying, the Taliban spent 18 years planning how to get their country back. I wouldn't be surprised if what you're saying is that if the men become so weak here, we're going to get we're going to get the drug lords from the south moving up and taking natural resources, oil wells and all that stuff. And if China wants to come in from the west, how do we defend ourselves if we make men more feminine?
And then the beginning, that if it wasn't for the fact of the technology that we got and there was such a large land mass, Russia and China could easily have their way with us because we're so weak as individuals. So it's just, we are lucky that we are separated by ocean and such large land mass for ourselves. So,
this feminist idea, ideology has been propagated for the next another 50 years. The effect is going to be very devastating in the next 50 years when this ideology has been propagated. Like, I understand that there is some rights that should be given to women, but it shouldn't be on the expense of the men and the values that this country was founded upon.
Exactly.
When this country was founded, up to 1965, there was men that are sacrificing their life, even up to this late time that we're talking about, that is still there is strong men that are giving their life in front lines.
Right.
The thing is that now the feminist movement focus more on transitioning the wealth from men into a female side. That is not right. Women already they're inheriting resources and wealth from their husbands.
Right.
And from their parents and all these things.
Right.
But also they're supposed also to see from the perspective of when you take a woman, you take her and she has a children, you give her a job, then no one take care of the children at home.
Exactly.
Especially because, for example, you don't take the rights from men, you give it to woman, and then you take the rights of woman, you give it to man, then man stays home. Their life has been upgraded so that one income family member cannot support the life, so both of you has to be on the run.
Right.
And this whereby we're losing a role model at home. The nuclear family is breaking. The woman is going out, she's coming in, the husband is going out. Sometimes at the same time, both of them are out, the children are in daycare or in the school. So the children, no one see and protect the children because we both running the rat race. We want to bring something on the table. And then all of a sudden that the emotions of the family, no one cares about the nuclear needs of the family. And then the marriage collapse. The marriage collapse now that the children get into depression, their school performance drop. They should have been engineers and doctors in the future and pilots that can continue making this country great. They become drug addicts. They become criminals, going to jails and all these things, you know? And that's just because of the bad policy that the country employed, just because to favor a woman of what they call it toxic masculinity or patriarchal society. That's stupid. Like from the creation, it is men that has kept this earth going on.
Remember,
these planes flying and the televisions
Eve didn't even listen to Adam, so this has been a problem from the beginning, right?
Wait, man, I gotta check out, man. I still got some work I need to get done.
Yeah. I got you, man. It's always appreciated. Great insight. Thanks a lot for joining, man.
About the band and all that, I really learned a lot today. That was interesting information, man. I appreciate that.
Hey, no worries, man. You're welcome, man.
All right, man.
We need to keep these talks going on so that at least, like, what they haven't paid attention is, like, this embarrassment happened to us in Afghanistan. This should have been averted.
Yeah.
I believe that probably if there was a very strong system in place, or, like, I don't want to make it political correct talks, but, like, you know, the withdrawal was just very unplanned.
Mm-hmm.
It's so bad. Like while we declare that we're moving out of Afghanistan 18 years or 17 years ago, the Taliban were already having plan in place. They're already striking side deals with the government that we put in place. You know? But it's very unfortunate. Like everybody, even the Secretary General of NATO, of the European Union, 2 days ago was saying that all what happened in Afghanistan, we all have to learn from it.
What Red Pill was in, he was in Afghanistan. The U.S. never had total control of Afghanistan. The Taliban was still running things.
They were still running things in the countryside. They may not have held major political positions, but they're still running things in some places, you know, unseen.
Got it, man. Appreciate it, man. Thanks for
thanks
for the boots on the ground.
Thanks, man. Yeah, good to see you. Right.
Take care, man.
Yeah.
Wani.
Yeah, you have another question?
What is your last name? Is Lasu? Is that?
Lasu, yeah.
Lasu. All right, cool. Yeah. So how long have you been in the States?
15 years.
Oh, okay. So you've seen a lot. You've seen a lot since you've been
there. So many things. Sorry, I tried to drop something, but you know the connection is not going through. Maybe we'll try it again.
Okay, appreciate that. Just one second. Yeah, Mr. Earl, you met El Chapo, huh? That is interesting. You met him. Should I ask any other questions, man, about your meeting with El Chapo? Because that sounds like an interesting person to meet. And not a likely person to me. So you know what our discussion is here, right? So, you know, what Red Pill was saying was that he's not in favor of stoning women and beating them publicly and all that, except it seems like Afghan men have a better understanding of how to keep order in their country, right? So, you know, you're seeing even in your country where all these mixtures of cultures has created some chaos, right?
That's right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we have lots of chaos right here in the U.S. And if you keep giving all the jobs to women and not to men, what are you going to do with all the unemployed men? Like, you're going to build homeless shelters for them? You know, I did a video on how women don't work as many hours. They're not as productive as men in the workplace, and that's costing companies money. So, you know, if they see what's happening here, it would seem that they want to put a stop to that. And like you said, for thousands of years, no one's been able to conquer them. So why should they allow themselves to be diverted from what works?
Well, the fact is that now they have proven that they have proven beyond doubt that these people are unchangeable. Even the American government said, if them themselves they can't fight for their country, then why should we? And that's what we're supposed to say from the beginning. We went there to, you know, to get rid of Osama bin Laden and you know, clean up the mess there, and you know, and we should have just been out of there.
We had to. I think there were two things. We had to build an infrastructure for them, and in exchange for building infrastructure like roads and education system and sewer and trash, all that stuff, in exchange, we got heroin, poppy field.
Well, the thing is, that I don't know about that, but the thing is that now that, like, what did we do now? What did we do better for ourselves? You know, if we get money, then the money probably ended up in the hand of the elites, not on the hand of everybody.
There's a lot of heroin in Afghanistan, and
I know that.
In 2001,
I remember in the beginning they were cutting down it. They were chopping it down after America take over the country. They were chopping down the poppy trees and all these things. But I don't know if they continue growing it or not. I could not verify.
Do you realize that after 2001, heroin increased in the United States? The supply of heroin significantly increased. Did you know that?
That's true.
So where was it coming from?
Well, that's the thing. The question that probably me and you, we can't answer because, you know, we are not controlling the border of the country. But, you know, that's why it's a lucrative business, you know.
Absolutely.
People involved in it, you know. You don't know who is involved in it, but it's getting into the country anyway.
It's a coincidence. Yeah. We go into Afghanistan, and shortly after that, we have lots of heroin in the United States. So
It's a coincidence. I don't know. But the what were you going to say?
Well, the thing is that what I'm just saying is that we should just keep the conversation. There are so many channels that is talking about keeping the masculinity active in the United States, in the Western countries, and all these things. This is very important because, this is very important to protect this is like to maintain our existence. And these countries that have been built by brave men, it should continue to be protected by brave men, you know.
And
when they come back, like what you say, like when they come back, they should have been also treated like heroes and been given all the privileges, because like some of them, they just get into the military when they're 18 or 19. So they haven't got any skills that they built up prior to that. Wow. So when they come back, there should be a lot of projects and plans for them, so that like we just don't lose young men, you know.
Well, and some of them develop skills while in the military, right? Whether it's a mechanic or administrative, they do develop skills in the military.
That's transferable
when they come out. But if we just look at Vietnam, you know, a lot of those guys ended up homeless on the street. You know, we disowned them in some ways instead of them being heroes. But the guys who came back from World War II, those guys were treated like heroes.
Yeah, they're just things changed down here, down the road here, the last 50 years. A lot of things changed.
Absolutely.
And hopefully this conversation that is going on around the countries, it will bring the fixing, the situation back.
So,
This country needs both male and female.
Absolutely,
we need the females to keep producing strong men, and we need the females to keep producing also good women that can continue to nourish the men that protects the countries and to propagate our life forward. You know, this gender war should be put to an end. You know, we're supposed to see like how things should be fixed. We need to find a common ground where our society don't fall apart. Like, because I just see now it just become more of gender war, lefties and righties, than the country being put forward to become first. Rights, people just talking about rights. Then where is the rights of the country itself? People talking about rights of groups and societies and all these things. Why can we talk of the rights of the country itself?
You come from a different kind of culture, so no one in the United States is a slave. People live well in this country. Even a poor person in the United States lives better than some people and, you know, middle class people in other countries, you know?
Absolutely.
They're walking around with smartphones and they have sneakers that cost $300. So, they have air conditioner in their house. And they have money to smoke marijuana, so there are lots of privileges living here. And as you said, all of this has been built by men. So why would you dismiss men after they built an entire infrastructure, maintained it, and protected it? Even if you were to give 90% of the jobs to the women, one, what do you do with the women? Two, what is the long-term plan for women? Are they going to continue building new things?
You see, let me tell you something now. At my workplace now, we're experiencing something like we have two women, so three of them went to maternity. So when they went to maternity, then there is a gap. There is a gap here that no one should fill. Sometimes it's very hard even to find people to hire, you know, because with the wages is low and things like that.
Exactly.
The workload become very overwhelmed. Somebody has to care that sometimes even the few that you have, if they fall sick, then the company run short of staff. And even if the company has to pay an overtime, means staying on overtime for someone who is tired already.
Exactly.
There should have been a fresh, strong person that would fill that gap.
Exactly.
You know?
When our laborers
and workers are getting very tired because of their co-workers who have gone for maternity or go for something to, you know, taking care of the babies at home or injuries and all these things, then it becomes very tough for the company itself to produce. This means that our produce getting lower,
right,
means the economy is slowing down,
right,
means that the country, other countries are competing with us, they're going ahead.
Exactly.
And then that's one of the reasons why China caught up with the United States, because I remember 30, 40, 20, 25 years ago, 30 years ago, China was considered to be a developing country.
Exactly.
When United States, was a super, superpower of the world. Now China is the second place. You know? Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong that because they also, China also employed their women. But the thing is that there has to be rules that keep kept in place.
Right.
Like, for example, in my country, if a woman had a baby, they give her only 3 months for nursing. And that 3 months, she's not getting paid for it. She go to nurse the baby for 3 months and then find somebody to take care of that baby. If she didn't find the next 3 months, she's fired. Another woman is hired in her place that can carry on. But she will not go and stay home for 9 months and getting paid for that.
So there should be
laws that to maintain the integrity of the company and the economic of the state.
So that's how I see it. Any last words you want to share on this topic? So the topic is, did Afghan men get it right when it comes to women? Any last thoughts you want to share?
You see, the thing, what I'm, earlier I mentioned before, I said that the Afghan, if you guys listen to the new minister of culture of Taliban that spoke yesterday at Al Jazeera, it is there, if you go at Al Jazeera English channel, you will hear him talking. That guy is very well educated. He speaks very good English, and many Westerners were listening to him through that channel, and people are commenting. And he put the nails on the wood. If you hear to him, you will not think that this is the good herders that we see them holding AK-47. Like he said, there is some logic words there in his statements that he was talking. That makes sometimes people even question, why do we have to go there and stay with them? Yeah, we go there to take, you know, to take revenge for what has happened to us, to dismantle the Al-Qaeda in Afghanistan. Once that's done, we're supposed just to come back home, and, you know, we should have preserved lots of souls and lives that we lost and the money. And now that we also leave some equipment there, you know, and the labors that we had on place.
Right.
But that's so sad. So what I'm trying to say is that the Taliban, because if you see into genesis of Islam, Islam came into place 650 years after Christianity. And Christianity adopted from the Jews. So the Christianity adopted the Jew Torah. Now we have in the good book, the Holy Bible, we have the Old Testament and the New Testament. If you read in the Old Testament, you will find that 97% of the Quran is from the Old Testament book. And the good Lord, Yahweh or Yahuwah, who gave the good book to the Israel, now the Israel is still maintaining that book, the Torah. So that book has talked a lot, so many things from the social aspects, how we can address situation in the social aspects. Even though it is thousands of years ago, but it's still, when we're making laws to govern us in the modern culture, we should not do away with that book.
Interesting.
Because that book can help us at least make laws that is relevant to what the good Lord wants us to do, to govern ourselves.
All right.
To govern our men and women and children and society.
And I've read the good book
a lot of times. It is very fair. That book is very fair. It gives the entire Holy Bible is giving rights both to men and women and children at equilibrium level to the side of God and man. The
right.
thing now that there is some lobbyists and wanted some groups wanted to introduce new cultures and new beliefs, and they want to do away with the good Lord words. This is the one that brings chaos to us.
Absolutely.
But they're going to implement, like, if we see the Iran and the Saudi Arabia, which is a good friend of the United States, and the Jordanians and Egypt. These are all, you know, basically Islamic countries.
Absolutely. But, so let me ask you one question. So the minister in Afghanistan, was there anything he said that stuck out for you that you'd like to share?
Yeah. Actually, he was being bombarded with questions about the female rights and the children rights. So he was saying that the female rights, he say that the female rights is already protected. And he say that our culture, it cannot be changed. And our women knows our culture. And they believe in the, when we talk about the culture, we're talking about the context of religion, language, and food, and all these things. And so these women, through history, they adopted these cultures. And so they believe in that culture. So it means that they know that that culture is what is good, best for them. So it cannot be changed. So their rights is protected within that culture that they have.
So they
and he say that, and he guaranteed that the women rights and the women and the children rights are protected, will be protected.
Well, you know, interesting. You think about that, right? So Afghanistan men, they fight hard in battle, and they don't put their women in front of them to protect them from bullets. They tell their women to go away, and they go out and they fight. So the women are being protected, and so
exactly, yeah.
They are being protected. But the same happens here in the United States. We don't put women on the front line of the military. We protect our women here.
But then we talk about the equality. That is the problem here.
I understand. I understand. And so that's why I wanted to have this conversation, right? So the men in Afghanistan say, look, we'll fight anyone who comes here, anyone. I don't care if it's 500 years ago or 500 years in the future. The men will fight. In return, we need the women to do these certain things. In the United States, the men say the same thing. We will go out and fight anyone. But in return, the women want the same. They want the jobs. They want everything. They want
equality. The thing is that we have our women here. Now we have the segment, a good portion of our women who doesn't want to do that. Like they have not like this. Like currently since 1947, 1965, we haven't had any wars except with the one of Afghanistan and Iraq. This is the war that came 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But now that probably, like I believe, like I said, when we see our female here in the West, in the United States, when they see what is happening, they will be cautioning themselves. Are we actually channeling this country into the right trend, or are they averting this country into a weak position?
And that's the biggest problem.
And then we still have adversaries. We have Russia, we have China there, North Koreans and Iran, and then we have allies that we're probably going to come for their rescue, you know? And this means that we need a strong man to be prepared in order to, you know, to protect our allies. And when we're protecting our allies, mean that we are preserving our position in the world dominance level, and that's for our interests, and for the interests of our women. Not just when I say for our interests, mean for the interests of our women and children, and for the interests of our country, and for the interests of the economy.
Absolutely. Yep. Yeah. So I appreciate you coming on and sharing, man. You gave us, you dropped a lot of knowledge. Thank you for that.
Hey, man, we have to have this open conversation. It's a very good thing, you know.
Absolutely. And maybe some guys are a little shy about having this conversation, except men need to have it because of what you just said. It's in the best interest of the whole. We have to look long-term in the big picture, and there are threats that are out there. So,
this world is a world of threats.
Absolutely.
Until the kingdom comes, until God said that the end is going to establish his kingdom in Jerusalem, we're going to go war. There are always going to be wars coming to us. Even if we don't want to go for a war, war will come to us because there is some patriarchal societies that's outside there. They might try to come to invade us, you know, and bomb our country. And what happened to 9/11 could probably, you know, God forbid, happen again. You know, we need people that can go when folks like what President Obama said, when folks mess with us, we mess with them.
Exactly.
with it kind of that kind of spirit of man that was said, look, you mess with the United States, we're coming after you.
There are consequences. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I'm going to get ready to end the show. So I'm glad you came on board and shared, man. Really, really rich knowledge, man. Thanks a lot for that.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Appreciate it, man. Yeah, bye. See you again, man.
You got it. Hey, Kendrick, you still there? I guess you're not. Listen, I thought this was absolutely an essential conversation to have. You know, do Afghan men understand things that U.S. men do not understand? The fact that men have built civilizations, we go out and we lose our lives, we come back with one leg, one eye, no legs, and to not have the first right of jobs in the workplace is a crime against the men who built, maintained, and protected the society. And it seems like Afghanistan understands that, and the women understand that too. Any society that has been extremely successful in keeping enemies out, those societies have done so because of the men. So if the women do not understand that their job is really to take care of and make sure the men are catered to and well-fed and strong, if you weaken your men, you weaken your nation. And it's what we call a national security threat. So I think this is a conversation where we've got to watch where masculinity is going in the U.S. They're already talking about testosterone levels are dropping in the U.S. And men need to take a look at what is actually happening in Afghanistan and why is that country so successful defending itself against superpowers? There's something for us to learn. And to not be afraid to draw lines, create boundaries, and say no to women when it's time to say no. So any last thoughts you have, Kendrick?
Ted, I set boundaries. I draw the line in the sand. And there, somebody get out of line with me. Country done got too far left hand, Ted, and like the brother was saying, until we turn back to the Creator, this stuff's going to continue to go in the hellhole situation that we're in. So them Afghani, they got it right, Ted. I've been saying it for years. Them, they got it right. The Islam, the Muslims, all of them, they got it right, man. They need to take notes from them countries. Real talk. You ain't getting no argument with me, Ted.
Absolutely. Thank you, man. Always appreciate your support and your conversation. Lando, yeah, there has to. You can't be afraid to put an iron fist down when it's time. Mr. Earl, thanks a lot for the acknowledgement. Kendrick, I'm gonna close us up. So thanks for joining, man. Thank you everyone for your support. Love the comments, the interaction, and glad that you all got some value out of this. And look, if you haven't liked the video, smash the like. If you're not subscribed, subscribe to my channel. Hit the bell so you can get notifications. And share this. This is the conversation men need to be having throughout the United States. Until next week, guys. Thanks a lot. Take care. And I'll talk to everyone soon. Enjoy your week. Goodbye. Good night.